Tuesday, Lisa. Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Welcome, beautiful day in downtown Chicago, wherever you are. I hope it's just as beautiful. Sunshine, and who cares what the high is today? It's going to be nice. It's nice. You guys should get a talk show where you're done working around 10:15. Not you guys. You guys are on the same show. I'm talking about the listeners. Most amazing story right out of the gate is these scouts who were... What's it called when you do? You go through caves? Spelunking? Is that going through caves?
Spelunking.
Is that the word? Anyway, in Thailand, the kids have been found at the wrong end of a system of caves that were flooded out completely. They're alive. They've been trapped down there for 10 days. Their guide, their coach... Because I think it's a soccer team.
It is a soccer team.
Yeah, the coach of the soccer team is 25. The kids are in range and age from 10 to 16. Everybody thought they were dead. They were found yesterday, and now it is literally a global effort of experts coming in trying to figure out how to get them out. And you know what it reminds you of is, remember when the mine collapsed?
Yeah.
And they made the movie about the mine collapse, and those guys were below ground for, what, a month? These guys, these kids, aren't safe. Because some of them can't swim, and these caves are flooded, and they now are talking about possibly hooking them up with diving equipment and pulling them out on some sort of stretcher-type situation, because the kids that can't swim, it doesn't matter if you have breathing apparatus on if you can't swim. So it's not over yet, but it's just an absolute miracle that they're alive and they found them.
You hope for the best, and you hope Mother Nature cooperates, because there's rain on the horizon, mm-hmm. and that could be very, very difficult, if not tragic.
Yeah, it's not over yet.
They're saying this could take months to get them out. Months to get them out.
What did you say about months?
It could take months to get these kids out of there. They're actually talking about taking down a four-month supply of food.
Food, yeah.
Wow. Why, I don't understand why it would take that long.
Well, you mentioned the fact that they can't swim, but even the divers who went into this area had trouble getting there, and they're professional divers.
Well, I'm saying, kids, you can't see anything in the water, right?
So even if you get the kids where they're able to use the dive equipment, I mean, how are you going to pull them out through that?
Well, and they said they weren't going to take 10 at a time, you know, so it's like a long process.
So they've got to do it. This is the amazing thing. They got to find a Navy SEAL here, in all likelihood, who is a doctor, who's also skilled in diving. Most Navy SEALs can dive, but diving at this level, who they can bring in there to have these kids medically checked so they can get the nutrition they need. Because you can't just eat anything after 10 days. Your body will lose its mind. Your body will lose its mind. Your body will lose it if you just start eating a bunch of food. So,
Mark, Steve.
It's a miraculous story.
Yeah. And I hope it has a great ending.
I say it will.
All right.
I'm demanding it.
Positive.
And then it'll be a movie.
And then it'll be a
movie. They're already writing the movie.
Yeah. At least they haven't started eating each other yet.
That's nice.
Right? That was the other soccer team.
That's the end of the miracle.
It was a soccer team, though, wasn't it?
Yes, Andy's soccer team that crashed.
The only thing we know about the movie is Antonio Banderas will star as the soccer coach and somehow play a 25-year-old. That's your major, inspirational, I guess, for lack of a better word, news. So why don't we do the rest here in a little bit for the top six at six, but it's 6:15 and the new Always On Time Steve Cochran Show. All right. Occasionally, we have some technical issues still with the ghosts in the machine here. Let me know if you just want me to jump in, Joe. Time now for the top six at six.
You know what I think the problem is?
It's going to be one of those days.
Did we move in here too early?
Happened was last night, I was listening to Andre and Patty, and they were shooting off fireworks, bottle rockets, right into the board.
You know, that's the type of thing that I would expect of those two. Andre and her bottle rockets. I think we know about that story.
It was great, but it was just, you know, the audio was awesome, but I think the direct hit on Joe's console.
It does look like there's serious burns all over the controls here.
There also could be pork rind crumbs from Nick DiGilio's birthday celebration.
When was Nick's birthday?
Well, I don't know if it's last night or today.
It's this weekend, and he won't be here.
Pork rinds? Hey, happy birthday, Nick.
Friday, I think, is his birthday. Birthday.
You don't like to wish people a happy birthday early.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be here the rest of the week, so it'll be late.
Doesn't have an option.
Did anybody have trouble with the elevator this morning?
Was yes.
It? Yes. We all had that problem.
Trouble, huh?
I got in the elevator. It would not go.
Well, it's because you got to do the fancy ID trick.
No one told me about that.
Yeah, no one told me. Yeah.
I was on floor
12. You got to get yourself a Sandberg. I call Sandberg on the way in and go, what don't I know today?
Apparently some people got the email and some people didn't. So,
Joe?
Yeah, I was on floor 12 until, like, you know, for like 10 minutes I was stuck there.
Are you serious?
I was just pushing 18. Come on, just get me there.
So the elevator just stopped on 12?
Steve, the lights were flickering. It was like a ghost in there. It went up, it came down, nothing. It wouldn't open. I went in another one. Bennett got stuck in the stairwell. There was a whole thing this morning.
I've got a neat trick going on where my ID sets off the alarm every day.
Oh, mine set, set the alarm off. I think I was standing too close to the gate.
Oh, so what, do you have to reach out and stick your butt out backwards so you don't get into the air?
It might be your look, you know, because they got the video on you and they're like, I don't like this guy's look.
I do look like trouble.
Yeah, I walk in with a smile on my face every day and I greet everyone. They're like, okay, the machines are like, okay, he can pass.
I throw my arms up and scream, not a criminal.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the top 6 and 6 right now. Oh, still me? Okay. Item number one, if you're driving for the fourth.
Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
There it is.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks for getting that in. That'll save a meeting. If you're driving to your holiday destination this 4th of July, and I will be on the road from Chicago to upstate New York, leaving tomorrow, arriving on Thursday, and then coming home on the weekend.
Wow, that's turnaround.
It's basically a drive-by. But if you're driving, know that road rage and standstill traffic will be at its peak this afternoon. This afternoon is absolute getaway day, which makes sense. And the return will be most a mess on Sunday afternoon when I'm coming back.
Oh, that's fun for you.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
What are they talking about, though? I mean, were you talking about, like, on the open road? You're all the way in the middle of Indiana, and you're bumper to bumper. You're just talking about downtown. It's bumper to bumper all the time.
Well, all it takes, like, you get into Indiana, you know, parts of Indiana, all it takes is one accident.
I know, right?
Yeah, and then suddenly you're stopped.
I will say this, Mary. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I went to Sox Park the other day, and I was coming back downtown on the Kennedy. And they have all the construction going on. They've ripped out the bridges there. And I think a graffiti artist at one point or another got there and tagged up a bunch of the construction stuff. And then you add the fact that there's rust of the stuff that's now exposed because of the construction. Chicago does not look pretty.
No.
In the 4th of July. From that view. And that's the view you take if you're going cross country today, tomorrow, right now. You're listening to us. You're going through going, wow, this is deteriorated. Yeah. This is not a good looking
city. What are we, New York? Yeah. Look at this mess.
It's worse than New York. Under the old post office, you're like looking up going, ew, that thing's going to fall on my head.
Yeah, we're not going for style aesthetic points this 4th of July.
Don't say that to the mayor.
I will. Next time he's in here, I'm going to say, what's up with the bridges?
Yeah.
But if you drive to O'Hare, there's pretty plants on the way.
Yes, that does look good.
Next, President Trump has declined the request from the mayor of Annapolis, Maryland, to lower the flags to half-staff in memory of the Capitol Gazette shooting victims. This is or is not a story, depending on your perspective on life.
Why did he do that?
The excuse by the White House is pretty vague because he has lowered the flags in other instances. There was something related to the fact that it's the 4th of July, and it's a confusing message to send. Having said that, the flag request was actually for this coming weekend. Some people believe that because Trump allegedly hates the media with his fake news nonsense, that's why this is happening. I believe that these folks should have tributes completely, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Having
the state
said
flags
that,
are going to go down.
Yeah, having said that, I don't think the flag being lowered help. There's enough pain in this story. I don't think there needs to be a whole discussion about Trump being.
And I also believe in my heart of hearts that this issue is not getting to the president's desk, that someone's making a decision in the White House. I just hope with the president, all the things he's got to do, him weighing in on what the flag should be, where they should be in Annapolis, Maryland.
He probably was crashing that wedding.
He had other things to do.
Right, he had big stuff going on. Right. In addition, next item, President Trump spoke on Monday to four candidates to replace Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court, according to people briefed on the process. The finalists are the following: Judge Amy Coney Barrett, of the Seventh Circuit; Brett Kavanaugh of the District of Columbia Circuit, Raymond Kethledge, and Amul Thapar of the Sixth Circuit. And the awkward part is in the middle of it, and they go, where do you see yourself judging in 5 years? Nobody knows how to answer that question. Next, Donnie Rudd. This is a weird story. Donnie Rudd was found guilty of killing his wife in 1973, making it look like a car crash. There has I don't know the full details here. There's got to be DNA in this story, right? I mean, I would think there had to be a DNA investigation. Otherwise, how could you nail the guy 45 years later?
This is like an old 48-hour story, Dan Rather.
Right. The victim's sister says this helps end a 45-year nightmare. Apparently, the family has felt for a long time that he had something to do with it. And now, in fact, it's official.
I always think of these families that have to live with somebody that they know killed one of their relatives.
Makes for an awkward Thanksgiving.
Yeah, like 45 years is a long time. I don't like relatives that haven't killed people in my family.
Right.
And I don't want to deal with them, but if you had suspected they killed somebody.
Yeah. More gravy, Donnie. Not good. Not good. Forbes has named Pilsen one of the 12 coolest neighborhoods in the world.
Wow.
Citing as a nest of cutting-edge culture and art. I like Pilsen a lot.
It's supposedly the up-and-coming neighborhood in the city right now.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I wonder what people in, like, people who live their lives in Pilsen think of this Forbes story. Because Pilsen has been somewhat gentrified. There's a big issue about the fact that the rents and everything, just like any neighborhood in Chicago, when you get to the Forbes list of being cutting edge and cool, right, a lot of the people who've lived there their entire lives would probably want to say something about
it. Well, the near South Side, right? Where all the high rises have gone up.
And you'll say, so, I mean, I will say I live in the West Loop, but the West Loop was industrial. There were no, I mean, it was Skid Row at one point, and then it went industrial, and the idea being that there wasn't a neighborhood that was displaced right now. There have been displaced in the past.
How far West Loop are you? Are you like...
Ashland.
Oh, okay.
Like, just between the United Center and downtown, essentially.
Can you see Google and Facebook from your place?
Yeah, they're up a couple blocks, but yeah.
They cited the National Museum of Mexican Art as being one of the main reasons
that place is
why
great.
It is cool. But now it's going to become too popular. You know, when those lists are all over the world, like, people are going to start flooding it. It's going to be...
I guess it's not a bad thing if you're a tourist coming to Chicago to go to Pilsen as opposed to, I don't know, Garrett's Popcorn.
Well, I would hope that...
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's a little line. Maybe they'll cut the line down.
What do you call people that live in Pilsen? Pilsenites? I would hope that the folks that live there find a way to make some money off it.
Yeah, right.
So, and finally this, Amazon... Oh, the duck
there
is back.
There we go, it's back.
Amazon's Prime Day is not coming up until July 18th, but there are secret deals that have been released already, including a three-month free trial for selected channels on Prime Video, Discovery, Shudder, I don't know what Shudder is, BFI, and MGM. New customers can get 4 months access to Amazon Music Unlimited for 99 cents, 25% off selected services on Amazon Home Services, including carpet cleaning, oven cleaning. Who has someone coming in to clean your oven? And furniture assembly. 3 months of Kindle Unlimited for free for Prime members. Bottom line here is you ought to get Prime if you don't have Prime. 50, I don't understand this. 54% off certified refurbished Echo device. Has anybody ever bought anything used off Amazon?
Well, refurbished is, I've had a refurbished phone. So that's
well, it's used.
Yeah, that's used.
I've bought a used book off of Amazon, Steve.
Have you?
Yes, absolutely. Used CDs, sure. Yeah.
You buy used CDs?
I mean, I don't do that anymore, but sure. I've used it. Yeah. I've gotten a good used Mark Knopfler CD.
You single-handedly took down the used CD shop
right.
owner by going to Amazon and being like, I'll get this 99-cent spin doctors.
It's a huge look.
25% off devices and accessories for various things. 36% off certified refurbished Fire HDs. 30% off discounts on a selection of Iris and Lily products. Who's Iris and Lily?
I don't know what those
are. Is that a British thing?
They've got great products. I don't know.
Up to 50% off selected movies and TV, including 50% off the entire season of Baywatch, like the last season if you missed it, you know, because there's a lot of compelling stories and you probably were confused about how they would end. A
lot of plot twists.
You really like this Amazon story. You're going along on the Supreme Court judge. You're like, next. This is one you're like, and you could get carpet cleaning, and you can get 50% off, you get 10% off.
Yeah. Little green carpet cleaning, multi-purpose deep cleaner.
Mm-hmm. You're listing every category on the side.
But this
is
only for people that join new?
Yeah, well, no, it's for any Prime member.
Oh, okay.
But you got to be a Prime member to get in it.
I am a Prime member.
Oh, Fender high fidelity headphones, less than $100.
I got swindled.
I'm going to go through every item on Amazon.
Mark just said he got swindled on Amazon.
What are you talking about?
I bought something, and all of a sudden I'm a Prime member, and then every year, someday you get just dinged to $99, and then you have no idea.
It's gone up now.
See?
You don't pay attention to any of your financial life, do you?
Not particularly, no.
Because you get a warning at least 30 days. It might be 90 days in advance. Yeah, it says your Amazon Prime is going to automatically renew,
and if you
cancel
it
now.
It's paying for itself. I order from Amazon every single day.
Yeah, it pays for itself very quickly.
They should be charging me more for Prime because
Well, they're making their money back on Mark.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't buy from Amazon more than, like, say, four times a year.
That's good. You hold the line. Yeah. Don't you fall into this Amazon the hype, this trend, this thing that's going to go away any day now. Am I going to the headlines here, or do we need a break?
That's all today for the top six and six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
And again, thank you for your patience while we try to figure out what end needs to be plugged into what end.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Kid of the Week, anytime. Nominate your great kid that you know about and you want us to know about. You can do it at WGNRadio.com, whether it's a kid you know and love, a kid you've heard about, a kid you think we missed in the news. Again, it's WGNRadio.com, easy to find. Just search Kid of the Week, and all the steps are right there. Are you ready to meet this week's Kid of the Week? Well, let's do it right now, then. Ellie's on the phone. Let's see here. Ellie, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Ellie Diastici.
Dostici, yeah.
So close.
The apostrophe gets you every time.
Where do you go to school, Ellie?
I go to Homewood Lossmore High School.
What year are you going to be this fall?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year, all right. You sound to me, based on some of the notes I've read about you, is that you're a fledging documentarian. You love to make movies.
Yeah, I do. I really enjoy it. I've been doing it for a really long time, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, so let's back the train up here. The day after Trump takes the presidency, you were a part of the Women's March?
Yeah, the one in D.C. My family and I traveled from Chicago, and we drove down the road, and we decided to go to the D.C. March.
And what did you think of being a part of that as a female?
It was honestly an amazing experience. I didn't expect that many people, and it was an amazing story to tell. And I was just so glad I was able to show it through the documentary because, like, my experience was so inspiring. So I was hoping that I could inspire others, like, through the movie, I think. So it was a lot of fun.
March Through Generations, right? That's the title?
Yeah.
And we're going to put a link up for this on social media at Cochran Show on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and all over the place.
Ellie, you know, you went to Washington with your mother, aunt, cousins, your grandmother, and you brought your camera with. Was the goal all along to create a documentary, or was it really just to capture the memory of the march?
Honestly, at first, it was just to capture the memories. I was going to maybe put it into a slideshow for my family. And then I met this woman, Ann Colton, and she mentored me because she's also this professional filmmaker. And she mentored me and helped me throughout the way. And it turned into this amazing documentary that I was able to show people. It wasn't supposed to turn out that way, but I'm glad it did.
And at the age of 15, what do you want for your future as a woman?
I hope that things do get better and that women's rights are improved and that hopefully the Women's March has made a difference so that, you know, by the time I have a daughter, things have really changed. So I'm hoping that helping spread the word through my documentary will help even a little bit.
You know, Ellie, it's tremendous to be able to put together any sort of film, but to put a documentary together is even harder. Talk about what you know about documentaries and what you learned through the process of making this one.
Okay, so when I first started out, I didn't really know much, but again, Ann Colton helped me throughout the way. I started to interview my family, and then We came up with this idea, like, why don't we, you know, FaceTime the founder of the march? So I decided to interview her, and the interviews kind of came together to tell this story. And then I added shots of the march. I, you know, got music, and it just all kind of came together. And I learned how to edit and how to, like, tell a story through interviews. And I learned how to interview people. And it's just kind of learn as I go. But I have learned so much that I'm going to be able to use it, you know, in my future.
Ellie, let's put this in sports terms. Are you thinking about jumping straight to professional and not going to college?
Hey, whoa. Don't get any ideas.
This is some supreme skill here, Steve. Maybe Ellie doesn't need any more education when she's done with high school.
Just because you're in a room full of dropouts doesn't mean Ellie shouldn't go to college.
I was told that Carmen would not speak today.
Yeah, until he was spoken to. What are your plans, Ellie? Do you know at this point? You still got a little high school yet.
I do want to go into some sort of film or broadcasting career. I'm considering going to radio, too, but something in that kind of region, I really hope, you know, maybe I can go to school for and then make a career out of it.
Documentarians, it's a very hot field. It's something that you can get things shown at festivals where you might not normally get your regular movie shown, and you can get a lot of attention for it, especially at a time now where there's so much news. So I would encourage you at least to keep one foot in that camp.
Yeah, I've submitted the film in a couple different festivals, and I'm still waiting for the results to come back. But I've just, you know, started to expose it to different things and different festivals, you know, for the experience. Because, you know, why not?
Exactly. And at the age of 15, to have the inspiration to go ahead and do this and the courage to have people judge what you're doing, it's a big deal. You ought to be proud of yourself for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I am. I'm really glad it turned out the way it did, and that so many people have, like, enjoyed it and have been inspired by it.
Ellie, we've talked a lot. We just assumed that you're interested in documentaries, but when it comes to film, there's a lot of different ways to go, a lot of different genres. Are you thinking about more film and possibly doing things outside of documentaries?
Yeah, I am. I mean, growing up, I always did films with scripts and characters and kind of going that route. And this is, like, my first documentary. I really enjoyed making it, so I might, you know, try to keep making more, but also expose myself to other, like, genres and different ways of, you know, making movies and kind of that field. You know, because I, you know, I have time and I want to, you know, get exposed and really get to know what I like to make. So yeah, I'm kind of open to making anything.
What stories do you gravitate towards?
I always seem to find stories, or they seem to find me, and I kind of just stumble upon inspiration and ideas. I mean, I'll be, like, talking with my dad, and we'll come up with a great, like, fictional story to tell, or, you know, I'll have this footage, and I'll turn it into a documentary, and it just kind of finds its way and helps, you know, me find the way I want to make a movie. You know, the story just kind of finds me.
The Mark Carmen story could be a future effort of yours. Story of a young broadcaster struggling to make it in the business today.
I was making grilled cheeses at 15, Ellie. You were slightly ahead of the curve as far as I was concerned.
Well, there's something to be said for that, Ellie. I hope your friends get that what you're doing is cool and, you know, more perspective from... What is your generation called? You're not millennials anymore. What are you?
I'm not sure, actually.
Justin, what do we call this generation?
Talented.
Talented. We'll go with talented. Talented works. Are you a baseball player? Are you a baseball fan?
I mean, a little bit.
You got a brother or sister who might be?
No, my siblings are not very good at land sports, but they're more swimmers.
They're swimmers. All right. Well, the reason I ask is we've got a Chicago White Sox baseball summer camp, but we're going to give this away, courtesy of you, to whatever caller you choose. What caller would you like us to take? What number caller?
Okay. Is there a ninth caller?
We'll do a ninth caller at 312-981-7200. You can thank Ellie for getting your scholarship to a Chicago White Sox baseball summer camp where boys and girls 5 to 12 learn the fundamentals of baseball. Kids of all skill levels and experience are welcome. Find a baseball summer camp near you and register at BullsSoxAcademy.com. You, young lady, why don't we give you some pizza? You like pizza? You must like pizza.
I- I love pizza.
Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. One of the 40 Lou's locations is near you. Order online at loumalnati's.com. And we'll give you an Apt gift card as well from our friends at Apt, A-B-T, aptelectronics.com. Keep up your fine work, and when you win your first Oscar, do your first interview here.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, Ellie. Nice person, huh, Ellie?
Oh, my God.
She's so much more likable than you, Carms. Yeah.
Well, when I was younger, I was doing... You're 15.
Yeah.
My favorite thing that she said in that interview, she kept saying, well, you know, I've been doing this for a while.
Very long time.
Very long time. This is not my
very
first rodeo.
Look,
she sounds like she's 30.
Yeah, right?
She's been doing it. Well, she's been doing it since she's 13. I mean, you know, that's
2 years, yeah.
It's a long time. Well, 2 years to you and me. When you're 15, yeah. 2 years is, what, lifetime. One-seventh of your life.
That's true.
Right.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
.653, John DeCosta is here, the musical director for the program, amongst other things that he does.
That wasn't me singing, by the way.
Okay.
I wish it was.
All right, well, it's okay. You can take, you know, don't feel bad. You're still okay.
Which Beatles sings this song?
George Harrison.
Did you watch the James Corden?
Yes, that was great.
Paul McCartney.
With Paul McCartney.
That was cool.
Oh, that was good. When he went back to his hometown.
I know.
It was
crazy.
And he became a human jukebox.
There was a point where on the Penny Lane sign for that he signed it, and I was like, "Oh, that's amazing!" And my wife, she's so perfect on this. She's like, "You know how many times they probably have done this, and they had to clean the sign and done like over the years, like the idea they made it seem like there was a space available for Paul McCartney to sign it." And they're like, "You know, Streets and Sand in London comes through, like, time to go."
I love the fact that Corden said, "No one's ever going to believe this is actual Paul McCartney's signature."
It's true.
Well, and the human jukebox thing was cool because in this little pub that they ended up at, Corden's behind a bar, and some people know him, some people don't. And then somebody comes up, and they go to the jukebox after they get a beer, and he said, "Play something from the Beatles." And one young lady makes a Beatles selection, and a curtain comes up, and Paul McCartney and his band are behind the curtain, and they play live. They ended up doing that for most of a day.
That's awesome. It
took 2 days to shoot that bit.
That's a good bit.
Yeah. But
if you can get it.
But my part, that's the thing. I mean, Paul McCartney's got a new album out, but he can get publicity pretty much anywhere. The idea that he committed to 2 days with James Corden is pretty crazy.
He's a good sport. Like, you still see him doing bits. It's like if a late-night comedy writer who's proud, they're all like young 20s. You know, aspiring stand-ups trying to make it in James Cordenville, and they're like, "Oh, what if we went back to Liverpool and you were a jukebox?" And he's, "Oh, yeah, sure, let's do it."
And it's not like he doesn't go back there all the time because he was like, "I haven't driven past here since I left when I was 16 or 18 or whatever it is." That little house that he lived in, though, and this is where we wrote songs and whatever in that tiny little living room. And he said, then we'd call my dad in to listen and see what he thought. I'm like, that house is so small, he could hear what you were doing one room.
Why do you have to call him in?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
He already knew what you were playing. That's
great. I love when he sat in the toilet. In the
and because everything sounds good there.
Yeah, the acoustic room. And I thought that was great. That was so good.
The problem with Paul McCartney is he's so super famous, people are afraid to approach him about anything.
Yeah, right.
And he just seems about as regular a guy you could be if you're Paul McCartney.
Yeah. right.
Is there anyone more famous in the world right now, music-wise?
More recognizable face?
Yeah, I mean, just all of it. You put all the whatever ingredients go into fame. I would say that Paul McCartney is
I would think
the
every
most
country
musician.
In the world, you could find people that know Beatles music.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I would say, you know, obviously Michael Jackson's passed. He would have been up there, but I maybe you too. But I don't think Mick Jagger beats Paul McCartney.
No, he doesn't. No.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Yeah. He's at the top.
And then Kaja Gugu.
Willie
Nelson. Willie Nelson is probably a close second.
But in some countries, people are afraid of Willie Nelson.
Yeah, that's probably.
I put Willie Nelson eighth.
It is top 10, but 8:57. Paul Coit coming up live from London. Nothing to do with Paul McCartney. And we'll talk a little World Cup. England plays today, tries to advance. And there's a guy on the Brazilian team named Neymar. He's one of the big three in the world. And his father was very famous as well. But in soccer, there's a problem with flopping. There's flopping in the NBA. But in soccer, because you're running constantly and there's only three officials to cover the entire field, when someone gets even brushed by a breeze, they fall down and writhe in pain trying to get a penalty called. You know, possession of the ball,
so
a strategic
much pain.
Kick. Neymar yesterday did one of the most embarrassing, it's all over your internets, one of the most embarrassing flops you'll ever see. Claimed he was stomped on. There was no one near him to step on him, and he writhed around on the ground for about 10 minutes like he'd been shot, and then stood up and walked away when he didn't get his way. So it's one of the things that kind of holds soccer back, because it's ridiculous to watch.
It's ridiculous human behavior.
Yeah.
When you watch it, you're like, oh, not that hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe they are. Maybe it's one of those things where you don't realize, it's almost like that phenomenon of getting hit by a train. You're like, it's so slow moving, but you get hit by a train.
But that's the problem.
Die.
If they really are hurt, nobody believes
Justin,
them
that
anymore.
Doesn't seem anything like soccer.
No, but the idea that maybe it's really, really
well,
hard.
That doesn't even
make
sense. Do you hear that?
Maybe if you get spiked. No, it does. If you get spiked by a cleat when you're playing soccer at that speed, maybe it is really painful. It doesn't look painful to us.
Just for a second until you get back up and walk away.
So you're saying we should put soccer players in front of trains.
Yes.
And then let's see what they can handle.
That's all I'm saying. Put soccer players in front of trains.
And also, to defend soccer, there's no timeouts. So
yeah, give them a timeout once in a while.
Sometimes the flopping happens in order to give your other teammates a breather and give them a chance to go water up.
You're the only other serious soccer fan other than me in Vanderbilt this year, because Belgium's doing so well.
Hey.
The flopping, did you see Neymar flop? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and, you know, part of it is card ensuing. You try to get that guy on a yellow card or a red card, and, you know, so he's close to the edge, and the other team would then have to play with 10 men.
I mean, the acting. Please, get some lessons.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely over the top, but he's been fouled more than any other player in the tournament, so maybe
Neymar. You go to your Brazilian home.
Yeah, that got real weird.
By the way, the yellow card and the red card, Hallmark sponsors those. You get a yellow card or red card. They're actually sent by mail, regular mail to the player.
The whole world, Steve, believes that seemingly in sports, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And that's, well, I mean, coaches will say that to kids. So this just kind of falls.
Coaches, are you hanging out with?
You think that some high school football guy isn't telling us, you know?
Well, you didn't say high school. I picture like a little league of five and six-year-olds.
You never got that speech?
Timmy, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
They do cheat. They say don't get up there and don't swing. That's a version of cheating.
I mean, Buttermaker, if we're going to go back in the day, let's go, you know.
I'll tell you a quick Ross Cochran story. Ross Cochran, now 27 years old, a father himself. Ross Cochran, when he was 12... was playing first base. A kid runs to first base, and the kid is called out. Ross looks at the ump and goes, nope, I missed him. No, he's safe.
What a great kid.
And I'm on the bench going, okay.
So he
comes in, and I say to Ross, because, you know, you don't want to screw this moment up, right? I say to Ross, I go, we really need to let the umpires call those plays, buddy. It's great that you said that, but...
See, I think he was actually setting a whole thing for everybody.
Well, you're the one who brought up cheating. What side are you on now?
I'm on the...
He's flopping over here.
I'm anti the cheating, trying, all that malarkey.
Do you remember I told you earlier on when he wasn't supposed to speak?
Yeah, it seems like it still applies.
It's got to hold true for the entire show.
Hey, you got something to plug. What are you plugging?
This Friday, it will be Pat McGann and I on the Zanies Comedy Cruise. Which is, we've never done this. This is kind of fun. They've done it before. I've never done it. Pat McGann and myself, Friday, 8 o'clock. The boat goes out to 9:30. It's strictly for comedy. ShorelineSightseeing.com.
So it's like on the river or into the lake?
On the lake.
Into the lake. Oh, onto the lake.
Into the lake would be a problem.
Then we drown, and it's
hilarious.
A complete
we
fun.
Take a boat out a half God. An hour, and we sink the boat.
So but it's July 6th.
July 6th. Pat McGann and myself, yeah. On the sightseeing.
That's a cool idea.
So
and McGann, two of the best comedians anywhere. What's the website?
ShorelineSightseeing.com.
And that's Friday night?
Friday night. This Friday night.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand. Walking through the streets of Soho in the rain.
I did not love Warren Zevon.
He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks.
This isn't my favorite.
What's your favorite? Oh, you don't like Warren Zevon.
I mean, I don't think about not liking him, but...
Okay, it's a strange question. How can you not love Warren Zevon? Well, there's ways
to not
love him.
I feel this song is overplayed.
This song's overplayed?
This might be my least favorite song of the summer. I love Warren Zevon.
Actually, that's a good point. I'm going to try to make this the song of the summer. It's 7:12. My friend Paul Coit, the London bureau chief for the Steve Cochran Show, joins us now. Good morning, Paul.
Steve, hello. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I want to remind people that the World Cup is the world's biggest sporting event. It only happens every 4 years. And while the U.S. team did not qualify, so embarrassing, we still have a tremendous amount of pull around the world. And I want to say, speaking on behalf of 330 million Americans, we're all pulling for England.
You're not. Are you really?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yep, we're all behind you.
I really appreciate that. We need that. We haven't won it for 52 years. So we really do need a bit of help, really.
We have one problem, though. Mary Vandeveld is a native Belgian. She's 112% Belgian.
I am.
And so she's pulling hard for Belgium.
Yes. Come on. When did they win it last? Okay. I don't even know when Belgium.
Well, they got away with it yesterday.
That's the right words for it.
Hey,
they got away with it.
They fought hard.
Yes. A late victory in a 5-goal second half. You see how much attention I'm paying to this, man?
Yeah, wow.
I'm talking to Paul here. Do you see how much attention I'm paying to this?
Sorry.
Jump in, Paul, whenever you can.
Japan, all right. Belgium, Japan. Who would have thought?
All right, so your English side, your English team.
Touch is how we communicate with those.
That's me, sir.
Was that you?
Yeah, stupid board has a PC on.
How much you pay attention to the interview?
I was reading about the World Cup.
How much you pay attention to the interview instead of doing a World Cup?
Every time you go to any stupid site, they got to drop up a commercial. I was looking at World
Cup. What the hell's going on today?
I had questions for Paul. I wanted to see what the current stuff was. Sorry.
Am I sponsored?
Yeah, right. We got pop-up ads for you, Paul.
All right, so Paul, the English side, one of your key members of your team is home watching his child be born.
I don't think he's that great, you see. And but so we don't have to really worry about that. He's a member of the squad, but not really, you know, in the first 11. So we'll be all right. I mean, Harry Kane is our boy, and of course you've met him. You know, he's a Spurs player.
He's a great kid.
And he's probably the best striker in the world at the moment. So he's leading the line. He's the captain. He's our talisman.
So how do you feel about today's game?
I feel slightly nervous because I know what England are like. See, the thing is, this is the first World Cup that the country has had no expectation whatsoever. Usually people get excited. You get the team record a song, and it's all, you know, it's just like, oh, we're going to do this. Then the press, knowing the British press go to town on the English side, coming up, digging up stories about the players. There's always some sort of unrest. There's some sort of problem. But this year, all the players seem young and professional. There's no expectation. And all of a sudden, without anybody expecting it, it seems to be coming together. So we play Colombia tonight. And, you know, who knows how it's going to go? I really don't know. Because I know never to trust us ever to win. Even when you think we're going to do something very simple and win a game, we tend to lose. And it works both ways.
That's a sunny outlook of a Brit.
Paul, last week...
You know, it's stoic. That's what we are.
Yeah. We were talking about this last week on the program, just that I think it was on Friday, the idea that England, to get into the round of 16, kind of did a tank job. Rested or sat a couple
What's
of players.
Meaning laid down, rolled
they
over.
They laid down, they rolled over to get a better deal.
All right.
So talk about how has that been received in the country? Is everyone okay with that concept, the concept of losing on purpose?
Losing on purpose.
Yeah, that's what you guys did.
Oh, I see the Belgium one. Oh, yeah, the Belgium game. Yeah, see, they didn't. He put a much lesser side out, and it was the same with Belgium, and so it would have given us a better route to actually get towards the final. But the thing is, I don't know whether they say it in sport over there. It's the boring old adage, you take each game as it comes. Mm-hmm. That's all you've got to do, one game at a time. So the fact that it actually did work out in our favor, although the way Japan played yesterday, we know, who knows? We may have actually lost to Japan. So, you know, we're happy with how it's panned out because we've got, besides we've got to go, you know, we've got Sweden, Switzerland, Croatia, Denmark, Russia and Croatia, oh no, Russia. So Denmark have gone. So all these sides we should beat quite easily to get to the World Cup final. It's ridiculous.
Are you concerned at all that a Russian firing squad may come out if Russia at some point falls behind?
I'm extremely concerned. You know, there was one story that hasn't really done the rounds. I don't know if you've seen this, but the Russian players, they've done a test on that, and they've worked out that Russian football players in the World Cup have run more distance than any other player from any other team and at faster speeds. Interesting, don't you think?
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, I just woke up. No, of course that's interesting. Absolutely it's interesting. All right, so England today, what time does this game
There's a subtext to that, Steve. There's a subtext. Yeah, sorry, go on.
What time does the game start today?
The game kicks off 7 o'clock, our time in the evening, which I believe will be 1 p.m. Right. Lunchtime for you.
Yes, we're very excited. We're pulling for you and all these other things. Where will the Queen watch the game? Will the Queen be with you?
No, the Queen will probably be at home. Often you hear the shouting coming out of our Buckingham Palace as you walk past. I mean, it'll be a ghost town if you walk around London. And as further we get, the quieter the streets will be and the louder the Queen will shout.
Mark Carmen, she leaves the window open and there's nothing but cursing as she's watching the game. Close plays, the Queen. Oh, I can't believe you call that a foul. That's exactly how she sounds, isn't it, Paul?
That's exactly right. That's exactly, exactly. It sounds exactly what she was saying last World Cup when we sat with her. It sounded exactly the same, although obviously you toned down the language, which I appreciate.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, Paul, what do you think her setup is at home? Does she have, like, dual TV so she can watch Wimbledon and World Cup at the same time?
Good question.
Yeah, of course she has. She has over 3,000 TVs in one room, so she can watch whatever she wants at any time and not even turn it over. How brilliant is that?
Paul, what's your reaction to the fans that are going to Wimbledon today? They can't watch the match. Wimbledon won't put it on TV. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There's obviously a divide between the football, soccer fans, and the tennis fans. It's insane. I don't think they should allow any English player to actually play whilst England are playing football at the same time. So I don't think that happened. It'd be 7 o'clock in the evening anyway. So most of the play would have finished for the day by the time that would have come on. But, you know, you either go with the tennis or you go with the football. You just can't do both. It's just not possible.
Do you think at some point somewhere in London today, Meghan Markle is looking at Harry and going, soccer's stupid. Why do we have to watch this?
Yeah.
Is that going on?
Yeah. I think that's probably going on. Is that what you're thinking? Because if that's what you're thinking, the chances are Meghan's thinking exactly the same thing. But we're winning her round. By the next World Cup, she'll be all over it. I mean, I've got no problem with that whatsoever.
It seems like you Brits really love her, and why not?
We do. We have taken her to our hearts.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, she's the princess of our hearts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel like a song's coming on. All right. So England will win today and advance to the semifinals. That's my prediction.
Yes, they will. They will advance to the semi-final, which will happen at the weekend. Oh, no, they've got a quarter-final next. Quarter-final,
the
weekend, and then to the semi-final, and then to the final, and then we will be kings of the world again.
Right.
For the first time in over 700 years.
Yeah, they need this win, too, because Andy Murray isn't playing in Wimbledon.
And so, exactly. What have we got to cheer? We have nothing. Right. We have nothing. We need it bad. Although Andy Murray's a Scot, and he probably won't be cheering England none.
Oh, okay.
Technicality. And Paul, you can hear Paul Coit on your internets on something called Talk Sport. When are you on next?
I'm on next week, but I'm on at the same time as you.
That's
so I wouldn't even dream to mention it.
No, text me.
Maybe we should do a link up. That would be very exciting.
That would be exciting. Text me when you have the details, and I'll plug it incessantly here.
That would be nice. And as always, I will plug you as I do.
All right, what do we say, finally, to let you go? Is it go Brits, go you English people,
no,
go?
It's a song. It's the song with three syllables. England, please feel free. One, you know, all together,
England,
one at a time. England. And it just goes
now.
On like that.
England.
It's really annoying after about 30 seconds.
Boy, again, as I've said before, it's no wonder we won the war. Right, buddy. Good luck. Go get them.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. And thank you for the support. We always appreciate it.
That's my friend Paul Coit live from London.
I will go on a limb, and I didn't want to offend Paul, but Colombia's tough.
Is he still on hold?
No, he's gone.
He's still on hold? No shot. I'm pulling for England.
I'm pulling for him, too, but I was just reading, as you know, to prep for this segment, as you heard. But they're... The style Colombia plays defensively is going to be the first time the Brits will have seen this style. And this is be their first test, because what they get to this round of 16, they had pretty much,
an easy run?
Easy run. I'm trying to think of the name.
Yeah, and I don't want to start any trouble here, but I'm told the entire Colombian team is an actual drug cartel. So good luck to England. Yeah.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, you guys got a Sox winner?
Sox.
White Sox tickets. Tom from Berwyn, congratulations. Tom from Berwyn is a big winner of Chicago White Sox tickets. We have them all the time because we have the White Sox. Family four-pack of tickets to the White Sox and the Royals on Saturday, July 14th at 1:10.
Nice.
Anytime you hear the White Sox sounder all day long, you call in and you'll be a big winner. Speaking of winners, you want to give away some more convention passes?
Yeah, let's do it. The Blackhawks convention coming up. This is going to be the jam right here. The Blackhawks, of course, this is one pack of four passes to the Blackhawks convention, family pack of four passes to the 11th annual Blackhawks convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. I've been giving these away. We've been using fancy math.
All right, so what call do you want to do?
Well, let me see. We've done all the numbers, how much every single player.
It's 2018.
What is Seabrook's number? I forgot what his
Seabrook is. Seven.
Okay, seven. So seven times seven.
It's 49.
It's 49 divided by 7.
That'd be 7.
Gets you back to 7. Then you add 3 for the champs, and then the 3 years.
Three off. Cups.
So I would say...
caller 10?
I'd say caller 7. 312-981-7200. You go back because you have to...
No, listen. Yeah, why would I question your system?
I don't know why you're questioning.
No, not at all.
Caller 7.
Caller 7 at 312-981-7200. You win the Blackhawks passes now. Oh, and speaking of winning, you go to WGNradio.com and you say, hey, I'd like the free truck. The only way you can do it is if you register to win. Just register to win. Just click on the button right there. Take about 30 seconds for you to register to win the limited edition Chevy Silverado Centennial Blue. Get yours while you can. I hold in my hands, okay, my hand, the revealing piece of paper for the most valuable person on the planet today. Carms, you don't know about this, I suppose, do you?
Not completely.
It's a new thing, the most valuable person on the planet. Each day we recognize the most valuable person on the planet.
I have been
from any field in the world.
Who makes the decision, Steve?
Oh, we have a committee.
Okay.
Yeah, a Blue Ribbon Committee.
And that committee today has really stretched the boundaries of what a person is.
That's very true.
This is not a person. That's very true. It is a slash dog.
Yes, the most valuable person on the planet today is Todd the Golden Retriever.
Yes.
Go, Todd. Way to go, Todd. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Todd the Golden Retriever gets the rare, coveted sitting ovation. I've never heard of a dog named Todd before.
Yeah, seems like a lazy name, but
Todd, a loyal, what would you, I'm looking at a picture of Todd. Straight Golden Retriever, you think? Got a little mud in there. Looks like a Golden Retriever, I guess.
A little swollen face. He's a Golden Retriever.
Todd the loyal pup risked his snout to protect his owner from being bitten by a rattlesnake. Now, if you ever wander around in Arizona, this can happen anywhere. Yeah. Can happen by your house, can happen anywhere else, can happen in the desert, obviously. Paula Godwin from Anthem, Arizona was on a hike Friday morning when she almost stepped on a rattlesnake. But Todd knew that Todd's owner was in trouble. So Todd leapt to her defense, and fought the rattlesnake.
Way to go.
The rattlesnake bit Todd on the snout, but the snake was subdued. The snake was taken down. Subdued. Todd's less than a year old, tackled the rattlesnake, ended up getting bitten on the nose, but Todd is doing well and healing, and Paula didn't get bit because of Todd.
Oh, the picture is so sad and cute at the same time.
Todd, the golden retriever
with the big rattlesnake bite on
the
snake.
Better be a couple extra liver snaps in Todd's hand, and her hand for Todd.
Right. You can nose through the garbage for a week, Todd, for that...
Tear up the couch.
On some level, wouldn't you just like to be a dog? You hang out all day, you eat, you get pet, you run around,
I mean, a Golden Retriever in particular, because Golden Retrievers are just happy.
Right.
Yeah, just happy. And they just want to be petted and hang out. I don't entirely get the rolling around and dead stuff thing. I think that could be changed. But Golden Retrievers are about as good as it gets.
You slam a Golden Retriever into a trunk of a car, you open up the trunk, the dog's happy. To have that disposition, how about going through life? You're just always happy.
Why would you
what kind of world are you living in where you're putting Golden Retrievers in your trunk?
I've heard about that, Steve.
Heard about it? What part of the world are you hanging out in that people are putting golden retrievers in trunks?
My understanding is that if you put a golden retriever in a trunk...
You put a golden retriever in a trunk, you ought to be arrested.
Hypothetically, if you put a golden retriever in a trunk...
Yeah, I'm not saying that it goes on or that I've done this, but...
Remember that classic children's book? Yeah. Put a golden retriever in a trunk? What's the matter with you?
These things could happen, but the point is the dog's happy when you open up the trunk.
The point's about the happiness, not about the kidnapping. The dog.
It's amazing. Mora won the tickets to the Blackhawks convention and a copy of Put a Golden Retriever in Your Trunk. Congratulations, Mora, on both counts. ChicagoBlackhawks.com again, and we're back with the headlines. And with John here, we're going to play Match Game. You talk about winning. The winning continues in just moments with everything on the prize list coming up.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
So I was leaving a building yesterday here at 303 East Wacker. There's a guy who gets on the elevator from another floor. I think, it didn't matter what floor it was. He's nice. He recognized me, and he said, hey, we're glad you guys are in the building. And when you talk about the building next door that you look in the windows of, we've been doing that for years.
Huh.
So they're on the same side that we are, where we stare in, at least from this studio. By the way, we're not going to be staring into that building for long, because we're going to move down the hall.
So basically he accused you of stealing his bit?
Well, there's a little bit of that. No, they find it quite hilarious in other offices that we are looking into the apartment building next door. But how can you not?
But, you know, I think that has died down since the allure, the shine of the new building and the new offices last week. But then I think Duff made a promo about it, like us talking about it. And that's been running. So I think people are like, oh, they must do it all the time. And this idea that I don't think that we're spending that much time. I've forgotten about it most of the time.
You were just staring out the window
showing DaCosta the flag. The Wrigley building's got the huge, look at that. Did you see that right there? You don't even buy it.
I was in the other room looking at you, looking at the building.
No. John and I were having hypotheticals about the height of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, boy.
Where we're at. I
wish we were in that conversation.
Kind of makes me wish we were still talking about golden retrievers trunk.
We were thinking of getting our own show just to talk about that.
Yeah, just about the golden.
Good luck with that. Should go really well for you. It is 7:41, and I just feel like we could give away more stuff. You want to give away more stuff? Look at some of the stuff I have to give away here. I have Picnic on the Lawn at Ravinia.
Oh, nice.
4 lawn tickets for the CSO's performance of Beethoven's 9th. I'm a big fan of the 9th. The 8th, I thought he phoned it in. At Ravinia on Saturday, July 14th. In addition to that, what goes better with the CSO than the Sycamore Speedway? I say nothing. 4 general admissions to Sycamore Speedway. Get your motor running for the 2018 race season. SycamoreSpeedway.com. We have Lumel Nottis. We have Zapp gift cards. We even have golf. Gift certificate of the Golf Center at Des Plaines. Chicagoland's premier year-round golf facility. There's a 9-hole lighted course there. Play a little night golf. GolfCenterDesPlains.com. We have all of that. Sandberg, you'll decide who gets what.
I will.
So we need 2 callers, 312-981-7200, to play Match Game. And we will do that shortly. 312-981-7200 is the number. After 8 o'clock, Dean Richards will join us. He apparently is outside today. What's his story on TV?
He is outside, and so we're going to talk to him on his cell phone.
He's grilling.
Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to win the golf prize.
The morning
listeners. You can't win. You work
but
here.
I'm playing.
Steve, your listeners are so lucky. When I would do the show at night, we'd be like, well, we've got nothing to give away. I've got a shirt that's in my office. I'd love to give it to you. I wore it to work today, but you can have it. 312-981-7.
Yeah.
You'll have to pay for the shipping.
Yeah.
Well, for the sales department here, I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of hundred extra prizes on here. So let's get cracking. 312-981-7200. We need 2 callers. Paul from Winnetka is going to play.
It's funny that you say that about the prizes, because whenever we have a fill-in producer and they see our prize sheet, they
get bitter.
Wow, you've got a lot of prizes to give away.
In addition to what I've previously mentioned, Bernhard Langer will be on this morning at 9:10. He's coming to town for the Constellation Senior PGA Championship next week at Exmoor, and that's going to be great. Sandberg's going through some trauma now because, you know, when you get a mispronunciation locked in your head and then you can't shake it, and you know when you talk to the person you're going to say it the wrong name?
Like the word button?
Well, no, that's different.
That's a correct pronunciation.
So you're concerned you're going to call him Bernard.
I know I'm going to call him Bernard. I inherited that quality from my mother. we mispronounce things, and then it's just set. So
yeah, but
he's Bernard Langer to me.
It's Bernard. Just think Bernhard. It's a forest.
That's not a normal name. Bernhard.
Just think of it like
a German pronunciation.
It's like a Bruce Willis movie. Bernhard.
Right? That's good.
Yeah,
that's
sort good. Of sounds like the one he just made.
I hope he's not gonna say, she's not going to say that one. She calls Bernhard.
Yeah.
Bernhard.
Maybe I might just go Mr. Langer.
Way to go, Mary.
Mr.
Yeah,
Langer.
Mr. Langer's probably yes, formal.
Sir.
Yeah. So he'll be on with us later on. Also, Orion this morning, too. We'll check in with a big O. All right, you ready to play the match game? Well, let's do it right now. All right, so the match game works this way. We have too many celebrities who all guess, or at least answer, what John's fill-in-the-blank question is. John's the host of the show. We'll then ask the contestant what their answer is, and if that contestant gets the most celebrity matches, they win. I believe the most we've ever gotten in any game is one.
One is the... We're trying to beat that record. One.
Right, one.
One.
I watched the match game the other night.
Okay. Oh, the new one with...
boy, that's dirty.
Alec Baldwin is dirty.
It was just... All it was dirt. Like, yeah, the whole 30 minutes.
Well, let's hang on for this first question.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You know what the match game reminds me of now? Do you remember when you were a kid and your parents would have a party? And there'd be like flirting or something going on, yeah. And you were old enough to understand what was going on, and it made you really uncomfortable. That's how I feel watching Alec Baldwin in Match Game now.
The top, the one that won, that got five answers, was urine. Like, I forgot what the question was. What does New York smell like? But it was like, whatever it was. But I was like, yeah. Hey, urine. Where are we at? Rough. And everyone's like, I'm going to go with urine. You're right.
We have Paul standing by and Linda as well. Great. Stand by a little longer. Let's go to find out what's happening at 8 o'clock, and then we'll come back and do the match game in just a second. Paul and Linda, you're both going to win something. We'll see what you win in a moment. All right, we explained the match game. John, are you ready to play?
I am ready. Paul, are you there? Are you ready?
Let's go to Paul right now. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul. You know how to play the game, correct?
I do, and my name is Nipsey Russell.
Well,
that's fantastic.
Perfect. Yes, he's got this down. And Nipsey, hang on for your answer until I ask for it. So let's get the celebrities first. Here's the question. From the studio, we can see into the building across the street from us. Today, we were shocked when we actually saw a man and woman blanking.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I said. I know.
A man and woman were blanking in the building next door.
From the studio, we can all see into the building across from us. Today, we were shocked when we actually saw a man and woman blanking. And let's...
Okay, I'm good.
I'm good.
Okay, everybody in? Everybody in? Mark Carmen, yes?
Yes.
Mary upstairs, yes?
Yep.
Joseph?
We got a Grzanich playing, or is he no longer... You know, he doesn't look like he's at his, his situation. All right.
Paul, give us your answer.
Is there a 10-second delay?
Yeah, well, don't say word.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got another word you'd
there's
like
so
to
many,
say?
There's so many fun words you could use instead.
Get your finger on a button, Joe. All right, go ahead.
Blanking.
Yeah, his answer is blanking.
Thought he said planking.
I guess it works.
Yeah, you know why it works?
Burning some calories.
Blanking.
Okay.
It's exactly what I said.
Wow. Is that really
very
what you
good,
said?
Paul.
Blanking.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah,
wow.
Because the word Paul's thinking of and I'm thinking of is what most of you are thinking of. They were blanking. All right, what else?
Yes,
Justin?
Justin?
I have snuggling.
Good.
Isn't that adorable?
Yeah. I was keeping it clean.
Does that
Mary
count?
Sam? Oh, Mary Sandberg, yes.
Touching.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Mark Carmen?
Making grilled cheese.
Okay, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I saw them. They were over there, Steve.
This hour?
Oh, you saw them making grilled cheese?
Yes.
Okay. Mary Vanderbilt up top. Yes.
I wanted to keep it clean. Eating Honey Nut Cheerios.
There you go. That's true.
You and Mark should actually take a walk together.
That guy's solo.
Hey, you got one.
Joe?
Yodeling.
Okay. Yeah, yodeling. Yeah, that's definitely a sensible answer. Good.
I was just going to say talking, but that's fine.
Blanky.
But he did. Yes. Paul, you got one.
You got one, Paul. You and me, buddy.
How great is that?
And, Paul, that ties you for the all-time record. That Hold the line, if you would.
You tied that. That's amazing.
Linda is in Mundelein. Linda?
Yes.
Linda, you have to get two. Two would be the big win here, yes. Linda. What is
the
Linda's question?
Good morning, Linda. You know how to play the game, yes?
Good morning. I know how.
Good. Here we go. And wait for your answer until I ask for it. Talk about nervous. Steve, tore up his knee playing foot golf last week, and next week Stephanie has us playing blank hockey. Talk about nervous. Mary's like, what? Talk about nervous. Steve tore his knee up playing foot golf last week. And next week, Stephanie has us playing blank hockey.
I think foot golf would be another body part. That's kind of where I'm going.
Okay.
I'm in.
Everybody
locked in. Don't say it. I'm locked in.
Yes? Everybody
locked
in?
Locked in, yeah.
Everybody
locked in.
Here we go.
Locked
Linda,
in.
What is your answer?
I'm going to say... Hand hockey.
Okay. That's good. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Let's go. Let's start with Justin.
I said bouncy. Bouncy hockey.
What does that mean?
The hell is bouncy
hockey?
It's like
a gymnasium. I was thinking like it's something out in the suburbs where you bounce up and down, and then you also play hockey at
the
same time. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to play this game anymore.
I want you to practice.
Like the kids do. Like jump zone.
I want you to go home and practice match game all day long.
How is this worse than grilled cheese?
That's true. That's a good
point. Grilled cheese could happen.
Yeah.
Mark Carmen. Hockey.
Mark Carmen?
I went with roller hockey.
Roller hockey.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting.
That's okay. Mary Sandberg Boyle.
I went with air hockey.
Yes. Air hockey.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. Well, it actually is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys all missed the point on this, but please continue. Butt hockey. There we
butt
go.
Butt hockey.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Butt hockey.
Oh, butt hockey's okay,
bouncy
but...
Bouncy and hockey. But yeah. Those,
yeah. How am I get all
butt
the
hockey?
Because what else could he hurt?
But what else could you hurt?
Foot. He hurt his...
Oh, I want to hear Mary and Joe's answers.
Yes, Mary, upstairs?
Well, I kind of went with what upstairs. Stephanie's making us do lately, like that cat yoga, so I want yoga hockey.
Yoga
again,
hockey.
Again.
See, we're on the same wavelength.
This is, you know, this is not the listener's fault. You celebrities are terrible.
Joe?
Tonsil hockey.
Okay. All right, that's funny. Okay. That's funny. And we saw him in the apartment building next door.
That's what they're,
All right, Linda, you got no matches, but you're still a big winner, and the celebrities on this show stink. All right, hold the line, if you would, please. That's Linda. All right, so Sandberg, you're going to split the prizes up accordingly, but once again, we have not gone past one. One celebrity match continues to be the record. Paul from Winnetka is our big winner today.
I don't think the celebrities understand how to play the game.
No, I don't think the celebrities understand at all.
I did exactly what Jack McBrayer did in the Alec Baldwin match game.
Just own it. Bounce hockey's a dumb.
Bouncy
dumb,
hockey?
No, bouncy hockey's
actually,
a dumb answer.
I'm gonna. No way. I'm investing.
Mm-hmm.
It's trampoline hockey. That's
trampoline
the idea. Right?
Yeah, because it would
don't
be interesting.
Dumb.
No, actually, it's not bad because you could get really hurt doing that.
Yes, thank you.
You could get really hurt doing that.
It's nuanced.
Okay.
Steve.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're nuanced. It's 7:55. Take a break, come back. News coming up on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Continuing the annoying song theme.
Mungo Jerry.
Says you.
Is this Mungo?
Says you.
In the summertime, when the weather is fine. I don't know why I suddenly turned him into Yosemite Sam. I say,
is this your karaoke track?
Actually, it wasn't Yosemite Sam.
Wasn't, no.
It was more of a, what was the big rooster's name?
The big rooster. I say.
Foghorn Leghorn does Mungo Jerry. In the summertime, when the weather is fine. You know, it's just one of the many, many impressions I do. I know what you're saying, Steve. Thank you. Thank you for bringing us these incredible
again,
impressions.
Again, nuanced.
Yes, that's right. And please stop flipping off your radio. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number if you need to get a hold of us. We're here for you all the time. Here's a little interesting sidebar in the world today. Brian Ross got fired at ABC. Brian Ross is the, he's the number one investigative reporter in network television. He's worked at ABC for about 25 years. He has had a couple of very significant mistakes that were made, one recently involving the Trump White House. He was suspended for a period of time. He's still got 2, 3, 4, 5 years left around on his contract. And ABC said, thanks for the memories. Here's your check. And he's now out.
He, for as much that the president speaks of the fake news and the getting it wrong, and he has such a mouth, he has such a tremendous... megaphone.
Yeah.
to be able to call out mistakes. And in Ross's case, I mean, I can't remember exact details of it, but it was kind of egregious in making a mistake of the magnitude to use a source and it was wrong. But you have this president now who has waged war on the media and calls things fake news and calls it out in his Twitter account that it actually does affect the bottom line and affects ratings for some of the news organizations. So you can understand about them cutting bait. Although, you know, I mean, he has done such a tremendous job for ABC for, what did you say, 25 years?
Yeah, he's covered great stories and all that. I agree with what you said, though. You can't have the president of the United States continuing to throw around fake news and have a guy who is on your staff and that high profile who is an easy target for it.
Yeah,
but can we just be clear? Fake news and making mistake are two different
things.
Yes,
absolutely.
Well, and also ABC doesn't do fake news. No, CNN
does fake news.
Well, no, they do.
Well, who does fake news?
Alex Jones, the National Enquirer, all the place the president cites his sources.
I guess I meant the regular media and the mainstream media.
Yeah, the mainstream media gets called out all the time. Is not your source for fake news.
But you're absolutely right. Mistakes are not fake news.
Speaking of the president, I have to believe this is a bit. A leaked draft of a bill called the United States Fair and Reciprocal Tariff Act has been leaked as a potential bill, which basically lays out what Trump would like to do in regards to the World Trade Organization and us not being a part of it and shutting it down. The acronym for the bill, because Congress uses acronyms all the time, is the Fair and Reciprocal Tariff. FART bill.
Oh,
got to be somebody in the White House going, let's see if they run with this. This is funny.
Yeah,
the FART bill. Right. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you.
It is 8:13. Dean Richards outside cooking on TV today. Joins us from, I don't know, the backyard of Channel 9. Is that where you are?
Yeah, the front yard, really. Anyone on the northwest side is welcome to come by and mop my brow.
All right. And as they're mopping your brow, what are you making?
Oh, I've made some good stuff so far this morning. Do you like minestrone soup? Mm-hmm. I'm not making that, but do you like that?
On all the grill?
I do like minestrone soup.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I did. I made a minestrone salad. It's like a potato salad and a pasta salad, but with all the ingredients of that are in minestrone soup. So I boiled some red potatoes and cut them up. I boiled some. You can really pick whatever kind of pasta you like, spirals or, you know, something kind of, you know, decorative. Boil those up in equal portions, put them in a bowl. And then I grilled up some string beans, some asparagus, some zucchini, some nice fresh vegetables, all grilled and charred for that extra delicious taste. Mix those in with the potatoes and the pasta and then put some pesto sauce in it. Mixed it all up. Nice and icy cold. It is so delicious and so refreshing on a hot summer day. I like something like that more than a regular potato salad. It's kind of mayonnaise-y and, you know, it's too creamy on a hot day.
Minestrone salad. Did you just invent that?
I took a recipe and modified it a little bit. That's usually what I do. I modify things up a little bit. Got all the recipes up at WGNTV.com. I made some broiled salmon. People are afraid to cook salmon on the grill for some reason because it could not be any easier. Salt and pepper on the salmon fillets. They go right on the grill. I put them on like an aluminum grating pan first. It's just a lot easier to clean up the whole
grill. Do you have the skin on, Dean, or no?
I leave the skin on, yes, and I'll tell you why. Because I put the skin side down on the grill, and I bake it. Usually you put it in the grill in direct heat for about 7 to 10 minutes, depends on the thickness of the fish. And then when it's done, you can tell when it's done, it turns kind of like that pinkish color. You put your spatula in between the meat of the salmon and the skin. the salmon stays down on the grill, and the filet comes right up. It's super easy.
You should really give up seeing crappy movies and just make dinner.
Is this where the grill daddy comes into to play?
Steve, if you're inviting me out to dinner, Steve, there's a nicer way to do it. Some flowers, maybe, but something.
You know, I'm telling you, though, the passion you have for this, and I know what a good cook you are. You're really good at this.
He's making pizzas next.
No.
I'm preparing some pizzas right now that we're going to cook in about 10 or 15
barbecue
minutes.
Barbecue pizza?
I have a classic margarita pizza because everybody loves those. They're delicious. Just, you know, basically it's mozzarella cheese, fresh tomato, and fresh basil right out of my yard.
Because it's noon somewhere.
Wait, he picked the basil out of his yard. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I am growing it on my porch. It's going crazy. And so
yeah, Dave Annett usually goes over and just gnaws on the stuff in his yard.
Sometimes I have to spray them with the hose.
Right. Get a little annoying. Get out of here.
So the classic margarita, I'm doing a Hawaiian barbecue pizza, which is barbecue sauce, chunks of ham, pineapple, and some chopped green onions. That's going to go on the grill, and mozzarella
cheese
on there.
That sounds good. That sounds very good.
That's delicious. Yeah. And my favorite of these three, a chicken pesto pizza. So, you know, you have some leftover chicken, you just tear it up. First you put pesto sauce down on the crust, then you put the chicken, some mozzarella cheese. I sliced up some nice fresh tomatoes and put those on there as well. So, you know, these, and then, you know, you bake these. I just get the ready-made crust. You can make your own pizza crust and roll it out and all that. That's a lot of work. I just buy those ready-made ones. I toast them on one side before I put all the toppings on. And then I put the toppings on the cooked side of the pizza crust. Because then when I put them back in the grill, the bottom side has not been baked yet. It'll bake while everything is melting together. And that takes about 7 minutes. All of these are so easy, so simple, easy, very quick, easy cleanup. Grilled pizza, you cannot go wrong. That's a favorite any time I've done it.
If you go to IBetYouWishYouWereMe.com, that's Dean's website where he lays out what he does for a living.
WGNTV.com, we've got all the recipes.
Mark Carmen has been an endless source of entertainment this morning. He apparently has a question for you.
Dean, isn't he always, though? Isn't the Mark Carmen always?
More so today.
God bless everybody. Hey, Dean, you just said the salmon's done then. Can you do the basic? How do you know the cheeseburger's done? Can't even get that right over here. Don't know that it's done. Always red in the middle.
Do you have a thermometer?
Those never work.
I like it red in the middle.
Thermometer. Instant read thermometer always works. 150 degrees on the instant read thermometer, right. But that's kind of a pain in the neck.
Put it on a plate, cut it open halfway, and see what it looks like.
When you have them on the grill, you know what?
That's right.
You know what a lot of people do with the grill? I don't know why. My dad did this. Everybody's dad did this when they were doing steaks or burgers or anything
on
the grill.
That's when they had the cigarette hanging out of their mouth and the ashes would fall on the steak.
That's part of it. Exactly right. But they've got the burgers, they're taking the spatula and they're squeezing it down on the grill. Yeah. And, you know, it flames up a little bit, but you're also pushing all the juice out of it, so don't do that.
Right.
But when you get a good sear on the bottom, you can tell when you have one side done, because then it'll start moving on the grill a little bit. You flip it over, and really the best way to know if it's done or not is to just make a little cut with a knife and kind of peek inside. That's the best way. Some people say you can tell by feel and all that. But it depends on the thickness of the burger. There is no visual way to do it because the thickness of the burger varies so much.
What a disappointing answer.
Harm, just poke it.
Yeah, right.
Poke it, because the more rare it is, the softer it is.
Yeah. Hold on a second. You're talking about a guy who doesn't know how to make a burger, and you're telling him to do the poke test.
Yeah.
Cut it open, see how pink it is.
Right.
You're done.
Yeah, just a small slice. You just put a little cut someplace. Because maybe you're
You don't have to go full OJ on it. Just cut it open a little bit.
But then it's disfigured. Yeah. Occasionally, my husband has handed me.
Disfigured? It's not art. It's food.
My husband will bring it over, and he'll say, will you check it if it's done? And I'll find out when I eat it, because I am not cutting it to have it go back out there. I refuse to.
Oh, man. That's
because your food is disfigured.
You're not really doing like open heart surgery on the burger, right?
Dean, I had always heard that.
You're just making a tiny slice and peeking inside a little bit.
That's it.
Dean, I had always heard when you're making a hamburger, if you see the juices come out of the top, that's the time to flip it.
It depends on the thickness of the
burger. No, I'm right, Dean.
If it's super thin, you're not going to get a lot of juice out of it.
That's true.
Plus, also, if the juices are done, it may be too done at that point.
You're listening.
You know what I mean?
You're listening to
a good point.
You're listening to Cooking with Bozo's Best Friend, and stand by. More
Dean
in a second.
I also want to give you, you know, I'm outside the studios here today. I'm out in front. And it's a beautiful lawn, and, you know, we have got very nice neighbors here around us at WGN.
I've sat down many times.
I've been out here for several hours now, and I've noticed a couple of things. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of bunny rabbits on the lawn here at WGN. Sure. Mm-hmm. That will not be one of my recipes that I'm doing this morning. I've seen three foxes. And I don't mean beautiful women. I don't mean like, hey, look at those.
Hey, look
foxes,
at them foxes.
Wild and crazy guy.
You seen foxes wandering in that neighborhood?
Yeah.
Well, that's
weird. We have actually foxes. And right now there's this little Pomeranian dog that one of our neighbors is walking on the lawn. And we also have some gigantic seagulls here. And I would be willing to bet money that one of the seagulls is going to grab this Pomeranian any minute now.
Or you could get a whole nature film going. The fox grabs a Pomeranian and the seagull grabs a fox.
That's the sequel to Put a Dog in the Trunk.
Right, which we covered.
What does
Circle of Life,
say?
My friend. Circle of Life. Oh, look at this. Now, wait a minute. Now there's a Pomeranian and someone's bringing their St. Bernard out here.
Oh, now you got yourself trouble. Well, Dean watches a dog brawl. I don't know what I'm talking about. We'll take this break, and we'll come back. And there's actually
a couple
of...
The dogs are sniffing each other, Steve. The dogs are sniffing each other.
Are you sure that's not Larry and Paul?
We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor. Channel 9 and 720.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. All right, show business-wise, what's on the agenda today?
So Harvey Weinstein, three more indictments for him. Cases going back to 2014 and 2006. They haven't disclosed exactly what went on in those indictments, what the allegations are, but they are sexual harassment and molestation charges. So add that on to the ones for which he has already been charged. He denies all of them and says that he did nothing that was not consensual. But the list goes on. A total number of people accusing Harvey Weinstein now is up to 90.
Yeah, and he's likely to spend the majority of the rest of his life in prison, if not all of it, and he's earned that.
Yeah, a couple of the new indictments. The maximum sentence for a couple of the new indictments, life in prison. So that's no exaggeration whatsoever. He very well could be.
In other entertainment news, Dean said.
Ben Stiller has been named a UN Goodwill Ambassador. He says he has no idea what his credentials are for this, which I sort of love. But he's been working with refugees, totally non-political, having really nothing specific to do with the whole immigration issue that a lot of the celebrities are now involved in. He has been involved for years now, involved in cases like this in Guatemala, in Jordan, in several different countries. So the UN has... named him an official UN Goodwill Ambassador.
That's nice.
So he'll travel around the country. Angelina Jolie had a similar title, and they travel around the country. And really, really, their main job is to bring attention to terrible situations that are going on around the world.
I have one for you. Kelly Cuoco got married the other day, and Jenny Galecki, her TV husband, who was involved in a relationship with her for a long time, showed up at the wedding. So how many people on this show have showed up at an ex's wedding? Have you ever gone to an ex's wedding?
I haven't done that.
It's awkward, right?
Yeah, I would assume.
So, dude, it's awkward.
You know it's a TV ex, though, right?
No, they dated in real life for a while.
Did they?
Yeah, absolutely. Carms, did you? Would you go to an ex's wedding?
Depending on the venue, I think about it. You got a good, solid dessert bar, maybe consider it.
Okay, so it depends on the cash and prizes.
Right, but I have never been invited, Steve.
Yeah.
I agree. If it's roasted chicken and mozzarella, probably I'm going to take a pass. if I hear they're having prime rib, you know, something really good to eat, and open bar. It's got to be open bar. Otherwise, you know, forget me. I'm not going to show up otherwise.
And finally, Jamie Lee Curtis, who once starred in a Halloween movie, is going to be at Comic-Con this year.
That's because the new, you know, there's a new version of Halloween that's going to be coming out.
Oh, is she doing a walk-on or something?
She's on the, no, she's playing her old character, Mike Myers' brother, Mike Myers' sister, in the movie.
She's
a big-time starring in the movie. And that's going to be out, I think that's right around Halloween. I believe that's when that's coming out. But
seems to make sense.
She's going to be involved in that. What else is going on? Oprah Winfrey is in the buzz today. She's the first time she's talking about what it was like at the royal wedding and saying that she's still walking on cloud nine because of the love. She feels like anything is possible. After all that, and was super inspired by the words of the Chicago bishop that spoke at the royal wedding.
Yeah, he was
very
cool.
Much inspired by that. So, and to that, Stedman said, "You're super what?"
I remember 25 years ago having a conversation with Stedman off the air, when I looked at him and I said, "What's it like when you get in a fight with Oprah?" And he goes, "She's Oprah, idiot. She wins."
There's the key to a good relationship.
Yep, that's it. All right, buddy. Thank you.
Happy 4th. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night.
Yes.
The big fireworks display. You may remember this, Steve, because you may remember a couple of years ago, you and Paul Conrad were fired off of the fireworks display.
Yeah, I used to do this for Channel 9. I think I did it 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then suddenly I wasn't doing it anymore.
Yeah, then you and Paul apparently were having too much fun,
right?
And got fired from it. So now they hosted me, and really, I have no fun at all. I've learned from the mistakes of you two, but I'll be hosting the big fireworks display on WGN TV tomorrow night at 9:30. And if you're too busy to watch, this is basically what I do for the entire show. Here are the fireworks. There were the fireworks.
My favorite part is the TV light attracts thousands of bugs, and they all fly around your head while you're talking. It's very entertaining.
Yep.
Don't you miss it?
That's good living. That's good living
right
there.
That's tomorrow night around 9:15?
Tomorrow night, 9:30, I'm told it's supposed to start. And you know how the city's always prompt.
Right on time, baby. All right, thanks, man.
Happy 4th. See you guys.
And to you.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
How much money do you think you'll need in retirement?
Not much. 105? 500? A lot. If you have kids and all that, they're very important.
Thousands of bucks?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.
Bill Geiger's here. Geiger Wealth Management is the place to go to get all your retirement questions answered and to figure out if you're actually going to have enough money to retire. Come and ask your questions. There are no stupid questions. Come in and ask a guy who does it every day. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, sir.
Oops, wrong mic. Good morning. There it is. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, sir.
Nice to see you as always.
Same here.
Where are the Geiger Wealth Management offices?
In Oak Brook. We're right next to Oak Brook Mall.
All right. Easy to get to.
Yeah.
And you leave your place, do a little shopping because you realize you're set and you didn't know you were.
My wife's office overlooks Nordstrom's.
Oh, how handy.
Very nice.
And we'll tell you how you can best take advantage of Geiger services here in a little bit. But I thought we'd involve the kids in the room here.
The kids.
And see if we can get them to ask some questions. Now, Justin and Mark Carmen, who's filling in for Dave Ennett for a couple of days, they're obviously much younger. But Mark, in particular, Bill, is particularly bad at personal finance. So you're a guy that I would think, and Mr. Geiger will correct me if I'm wrong about this, you're a guy that ought to get your act together now.
That's probably true, Steve. I guess my question, Bill, like, what's the... should I be saving money right now? What's the formula here? How do you get to, I'm going to need this much money by this time? Like, if I have that much in the bank at...
Well, you don't even know what you need.
Right, but that's what I'm trying to figure. Like, what do I need at what age?
Yeah.
So I could, like, start there to try to plan
Bill?
For that.
What you should do right now is save 20% of everything you make.
Oh,
right
boy.
Off the top.
Oh, boy.
And don't ask yourself any other questions for the next 30 years.
20%.
20% off the top.
20%.
The old 20% off the top here.
What are you putting that into, Bill? What are you putting your 20% into?
You know, at the end of the day, any good mutual fund at this age over a long period of time will work. The more important part is the saving part.
Like a Northwestern, a Fidelity, any of those major companies.
Could be. Yeah.
Okay. Justin.
I was told, I had an engineer who retired at a radio station I was working at, and he said, don't even think about retiring with less than $1 million. And, you know, thinking about that on its head when I was 29, 30 years old when he retired, you know, it made me go, there's no way. But is that still an accurate number in 2018 to retire comfortably? Do you have to be thinking about $1 million, or has inflation kicked in? It's been a couple of years since I worked over there. Does it have to be more?
You know, better way to look at that is to look at how much income your portfolio can produce. When you retire, what's going to pay the bills for the next 20 to 30 years is dependable, sustainable income that's coming into your checking account. Your portfolio needs to be able to drive enough income that you can lead your lifestyle, you can pay your bills, so you can enjoy yourself. That's more important than a total dollar size of your portfolio.
Your money's got to be able to make more money.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you think about it, the happiest people that ever come into my office are people with big pension plans. They know exactly how they're going to pay their bills. They know how it's going to work out for the rest of their life. They can have a $100,000 portfolio or a $10 million portfolio, and they're happy because they know exactly where their income's coming from.
Yeah, and not everybody has a big pension plan, so that's, again, another reason to get a hold of Bill Geiger and talk about what you have and what you don't
own,
have.
Steve.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things you do.
Yeah, you can build your own. As a matter of fact, even if you have a pension plan, ask yourself the question, how comfortable are you, depending upon your former employer, for the next 30 years to make good financial decisions? They might not be around in 5 years.
Right.
If you have a pension plan and you have the option for what's called a lump sum, instead of taking the payments, they give you a big pile of money. You can take that big pile of money. You can make that choice. Create your own pension plan and not have those worries going forward, and perhaps even get more money.
I'm sorry, you have a follow-up, Mark Carmen?
Well, I want to show my slight intelligence here. So that means that you prioritize stocks that pay a dividend here, Bill? Is that am I hearing this right?
No.
You're not
saying
that? Okay. All right, well, I gave it a shot.
No, and that's a fallacy today. Bonds don't work anymore. Interest rates are really low, and people have the idea they can go out and buy a high-dividend-paying stock and do what I just talked about. That works okay until the stock value gets cut in half.
Right.
And then you're not so happy.
John, as one of the two old guys in the room, I'd be the other one. You have a question?
Yeah, you know, I'm self-employed for 35 years.
Right.
And I've been putting money in an IRA account every single year.
Good.
So you're... Oh, well, good. I thought you were going to tell me I'm done.
No, good.
Okay.
Good.
Well,
first off, Bill doesn't look at clients or...
Bill, you're scaring me a lot.
Don't stop there.
Okay.
Don't stop there. The 20% off the top, that's way more than your IRA can soak up.
Okay.
So put that additional money aside in investments and don't touch it for anything.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. I feel better.
All right, when we come back, we're going to go over some specifics here on how to plan for your retirement. Bill, what's the number at the office?
800-681-2498.
800-681-2498. We'll come back, talk more about volatility in the market and how you can actually be okay. We also have a texter that says, I'm 29. I have a company match 401k and an IRA. How can I possibly know if that's enough? Well, you're 29. You're off to a good start right there. 401k and
old?
An IRA?
Yeah. 29 years old?
Yeah.
That is a good start.
That's impressive. It's 8:50 now. And the Steve Cochran Show continues. Okay, let's go now back to Bill Geiger, already in progress, telling us how to possibly get our acts together enough to retire. And yeah, we got a guy on a horn and another guy squeezing something. I don't know what's going on in the room. All right, continuing volatility in the market. We want to be financially independent. The market's gone up considerably, but then there's times it'll drop 3,000 points or 5,000 points in a day. Now, in the new market, that's only 20% at the worst possible point, usually at 10%. I mean, did you ever imagine we'd have a 10% drop and it'd be 2,500 points? It's amazing the position we're in.
It is. It's the numbers have changed a lot over the years.
So how do you get financial independence if you're heavily into the market?
A couple things. You know, if you're in your late 50s, early 60s, we were talking about this off air, you've got two really, really big jobs to do at this stage of your life. Number one is make sure you don't have a big loss. If you have a big loss at this stage, your retirement plans are going to change. You're going to work longer, or you're going to live smaller in retirement. So the number one job is don't have a big loss. And that comes down to how much risk is in your portfolio. We've got some pretty nifty tools that do an analysis on that. But the second big job is when you retire, there's no more paychecks. It's like unemployment for 20 to 30 years. Late 50s, early 60s, you need to start building dependable, sustainable income that will give you that paycheck in retirement.
What's the difference between an investment plan and a retirement plan?
Investment plan says, how am I going to build my money?
Okay.
And that's good.
Retirement plan says, how am I going to keep my money?
Retirement plan says, how am I going to keep my money, and how am I going to make it work for me so that I can pay my bills for the next 30 years?
Pensions is almost becoming a dirty word because of the political fights over it. Everybody that's earned a pension, they feel like they're solid, but we know the state of affairs in Illinois is a little bit dicey and around the country. So that's why you're encouraging people to develop your own pension plan, right?
Yeah. If you have a pension, think about this. I sat down with a lady the other day with a Sears pension. Sears is closing stores all over the country.
Yeah.
Would you really want to depend upon Sears making good financial decisions for the next 20 years? No. She has the option for a lump sum. She can take all of her pension money in a big pile of money. And we've taken that and created a private pension plan, if you will, for her, where she'll have a monthly check for the rest of her life. And she'll have a legacy for her family, which is something she would never have with a traditional pension plan.
Obviously, there's huge penalties when it comes to 401ks, but do you think the same way about 401ks? I mean, obviously, pensions are different, but would you recommend the idea of getting out of the market and trying to set up something with the money that you've accrued through your 401ks?
Well, there's a balance. Your 401k, first of all, if you're 59 and a half, can be rolled into an IRA. No penalty, no taxes, no nothing. Once it's in that IRA, you can take part of it for growth. You want a different growth than a 30-year-old. You want your first objective to be not losing money. Your second objective is to grow. You take the other part of your money and you create that dependable, sustainable income we were talking about, because you need both in retirement. You need growth to stay up with inflation. You need income to pay your bills.
So don't just pull it out and get double taxed and get whacked way. Roll it into something.
Roll it into an IRA.
Okay. Listen, you need to talk to Bill Geiger about all of this, because if you don't, you're going to end up losing money. There's no way to guarantee that you're not going to get involved in another 2007 and 2008 unless you drop your guard, become a little vulnerable, and find out just how financially vulnerable you are, and go to you and ask the questions.
I'm amazed every week at new folks that come in, and they're amazed too about just how much risk they have in their portfolio. In general, people don't have a clue. They think, well, I'm a little risky, but they have no idea. If you take your portfolio and run it back through 2008, and that portfolio you're holding today would have dropped 40, 45%, you may not be in the right place.
Yeah, I mean, if you're giving away half the money you've saved at 59 or 60, that's a problem.
How are you going to recover from that?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
You're going to work until 20 years after you died. Bill Geiger wants to help you out. And as I've said, on the air and off the air, You let the pilot fly the plane and the mechanic fix your car. Why not let the expert take care of your retirement? And there's nobody better than Bill Geiger. So if you have no idea how you're going to make your ends meet and your life savings last 20 or 30 years or more, Bill and the team at Geiger Wealth can help with a special offer. They're going to sit down with you personally, create a full-blown retirement plan. It's worth up to $3,000. The next five callers who've put aside $500,000 or more for retirement feel pretty good about yourself, and you should. But let's check that risk out and see how well you're actually doing. 800-681-2498, and together with you, Bill and the team will translate the complex financial planning process into easy-to-understand steps and a roadmap to get you where you need to be. It's Geiger Wealth Management, a complimentary, personalized, full-loan retirement plan. Be one of the next five at 800-681-2498, 800-681-2498. And Bill Geiger, as I always say to you, thanks for the education.
Good to be here, sir.
Good to see you. It's a minute before nine, and CLTV will join us in just a second. We need one more break before the top of the hour. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
All right, coming up in the next 15 minutes or so, Bernard Langer, the best senior tour PGA champions of the tour golfer. He's going to be playing at Exmoor next week in the Constellation PGA Championship, and Orion Samuelson.
Yeah.
After 9:30 on the way. You guys on the phone and by text anytime at 312-981-7200 coming up as well. Justin, do you have anything to add at this point?
No, I do. Only the fact that, not unlike Carm, I feel like the questions that I really wanted to ask Bill Geiger, I was afraid to ask because I'm like, I don't want to sound like an idiot.
You'd rather be broke?
I'd rather be afraid.
I'd rather be broke and afraid in the corner than get the information I need.
I'd be afraid. Yeah. It's like, I have an issue with my form. You know what? Never mind. I'll deal with it like a man.
Right. I'll go broke over here while you're helping others. You want to play match game again?
Sure.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that coming up too.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
.909 now. Next week, the PGA Tour Champions, PGA Championship, the Exmoor Country Club is the home for the Constellation PGA Championship next week. And it's going to be great. Finest golfers in the world there for your dining and dancing pleasure. You know, there's two people, Mark Carmen, that have dominated the Senior Tour since its inception. One is Hale Irwin.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is Bernhard Langer.
Is that right?
Bernhard Langer, you know, he goes out, he wins a Masters, he dominates the American PGA Tour for many, many years, certainly a star on the European Tour, and now he's taken advantage of the finest golfers in the land, and Bernhard Langer joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
I am a big fan, and I am extremely impressed, and aren't you mean? Look at all the money you're taking from the other guys out there.
Well, that's not mean, that's what we do for a living. Oh. Everybody's got the same possibility, and you know, when somebody doesn't get exempt or whatever, the saying is, well, just play a little better.
That's exactly right. What do you attribute to this point in your life being at the level you're playing? You're playing as well as you've ever played.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. Obviously, the most important is health. You got to be healthy to do what we're doing, and I've been fortunate not to have any major operations. I work on my fitness. I take enough time away from the game, enough time off to recuperate, and have a good team around me, good coach, good caddy. My family is very supportive, and all of that plays a part. And you got to have the drive and the mental, you know, the willingness to work at it and work on your game continuously and the strive to get better.
You ever just play golf for fun?
Sometimes at home with my kids and with a few friends. Yeah, we play for fun. But, you know, most of my golf is competitive golf, and I'm a very competitive person, so I enjoy it.
The Constellation next week at Exmoor, how well do you know the golf course?
Not at all. Never seen it, never heard anything about it, really, to this point. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited to be there from Monday onwards.
I will be out there to host the pairings party, so I'm looking forward to seeing you and shaking your hand and thanking you for all the entertainment over the years. For people that want to play better golf in general, you're never too old to be physically fit, or at least more physically fitter than you are now, right?
I agree with that. And, you know, some of that is important in golf, too. You got to be somewhat flexible and have a little bit of strength to move the club in the positions that you want it to move. But, yeah, you're never too old to get better. It's a very technical game and a very mental game, and you can always get better in those two areas.
You know, as a, when you just mentioned you're a competitive person and the game is mental, how do you prepare for playing on a course that you've never played before?
Well, I take a lot of time on in my practice round to really try and figure out where the challenges are, where I want to place the ball, where I don't want to be. Make notes of, you know, the hazards, the greens, how they slope, and we all do that. That's the, what professional caddies and professional golfers do, because that one or two shot difference could make all the difference in the world at the end of the week. So we're painstakingly preparing in our one or two practice rounds that we have, and then hopefully be ready to, you know, play our best against the weakness of the golf course. But some courses are set up so difficult that it's easy to get frustrated with yourself or, you know, with the setup. And it takes mental toughness to get over that and move on.
I know you said that your family is still very supportive, but I've heard other families of professional athletes talk about when dad finally retired, now he can come to family weddings, go to christenings, be around on the weekends for kids' games. Were they waiting for that moment and it's not going to come now that you've taken on the senior tour?
Oh, that's a great question. No, I've made sure that I was there for all the major events. I just took time off or missed tournaments, just like my son graduated from high school a couple of weeks ago. So I was actually supposed to defend the major title, the Senior PGA Championship, and so I just took that tournament off and was there for my son and my family to support him. And that's, you know, how I've pretty much dealt it throughout the years. Family comes first. There's always more golf tournaments.
That's a great perspective on life. I heard Tom Kite at one point say it's tough when you're in the middle of it because you're home and you feel like you should be on the road, and you're on the road and you long for being home. Did you go through a phase like that?
Of course, we go through that most weeks. It's just how it is, you know. We're away, and if you don't play great, you think, well, maybe I should be home because I'm not doing good here, anyways. And when you're home, you sometimes think, well, I'm missing out. Maybe I should have played the tournament. So it's a very fine balance, and every year, it's one of the things that we have to plan our schedule and make sure we balance it correctly, where we have enough family time and support for my wife and my kids. Excuse me, enough time to work out and do the things I enjoy, and then also enough time playing tournaments so I can stay competitive.
With regards to your workout, you know, people listening to the show are roughly your age, and they're all playing golf. What have you added to your routine off the course that has helped you stay so healthy and fit?
Probably mostly stretching. My workout hasn't changed drastically in terms of whatever weights or bands or, you know, using my body weight for certain exercises, but I do more stretching now than I've ever done in my whole life. You know, definitely mornings and evenings, but sometimes in between as well. And maybe that's helped me to stay reasonably flexible and still, you know, make a 90-degree shoulder turn more or less. And all that helps to, you know, have good rhythm and create enough club head speed to compete with the younger guys.
It's funny when I think about when you were coming up, Gary Player was, and frankly, if you're paying attention, still is an example that everybody ought to follow for staying in shape. But stretching was never something that, you know, you talked about with Palmer and Nicklaus and the guys who were playing in the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s. The benefits of that really have come in the last 20 years.
I absolutely believe that, yes. I think, you know, a lot of guys have been stretching. They just didn't make a big deal of it. But if you do it continuously for years and years, it certainly pays off as we get older because we lose strength and we lose flexibility. We get stiffer, and you know, my swing is shorter than what it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and I don't want it to get too short, so I got to work on that to prolong the period of time I can play.
Is yours like, is it Jimenez that does the exaggerated stretching, Steve?
Oh, yeah, he just does it.
Angel Jimenez.
Not necessarily.
Yes.
it's not necessarily exaggerated. It's just slightly different. And he does it out in public on the driving range at times. Most of us go in a fitness center, or we actually have two fitness trucks following us on the tour, where we have all the gear and everything, the space to do what we need to do.
Miguel on LNMS, Mark Carmen, does a butt wiggle with his golf club that you'd be very envious of.
I'm going to check it out immediately this interview. Hey, Bernard, who do you like as far as the young golfers? Everyone's looking for the next Tiger Woods. Who do you think has the potential to sort of fill that vacuum?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. We have Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth. All those guys are great, but it could be, somebody that we actually haven't even heard yet. They're just like 18 years old or 19 or just in college right now, and they're going to break through. It can happen. It's going to be tough to do what Tiger did, because he was truly dominant and for many months and years at a different level. That's extremely hard to achieve, but there will always be some that will hang around the top for years, and I think the guys that I mentioned have the possibility to do that.
46 years as a pro, last time I looked, I think that number's accurate or close to it, and 111 professional wins. Where are all the trophies? Can I have one?
Sure. Some of them are rusting away. No, it's just most of them are here in Florida where we live, and a few of them are in Germany where I used to live. So they're spread around. There's plenty of room for a few more, though.
Any of the kids playing at a higher level and chasing it at all?
All the kids play and at a good level, but no, I don't think any of them are chasing to become a professional. They're too smart to do that. They have other talents and gifts, and it's not an easy thing to fall in the footsteps of your dad.
Yeah, that's very true. Two-time Masters winner and as good a guy as you would hope he would be. Next week, the Evans Scholars are the primary beneficiary, and as you know, if you listen to this show with any regularity, I couldn't be a bigger fan of what they do at the Western Golf Association every day. Our own Dr. Kevin Most and so many people that you may know in your own life started out as caddies, and if you're a good caddy and good in school, you have the opportunity through the Evans Scholars to get your college paid for. And thousands and thousands of people who have achieved in life got their start because the Evans Scholars were there for them. If you go to WGAESF, Western Golf Association, Evans Scholars Foundation.org, WGAESF, there's a link there for the Constellation Senior Players Championship where you can get your tickets and everything for next week. But also, if you're so inclined and you're able, make a donation. Help the Evans Scholars out. You're going to help by going next week, but you could help in another way by making a donation now. And for you guys that love golf as much as I do, I hope you will. Bernard, thank you very much. You're a pleasure to have on the show. I hope we can do it again, but nothing but good luck the rest of the way.
Thanks very much. Look forward to seeing you next week. Take
care. There you go. Bernard Langer. Oh, he turned out to be a jerk, huh, Carms?
Yeah, that guy was...
What a nice guy.
Really, really.
What a good dude.
Bad guy. Didn't like him at all.
Yeah, it's funny. Justin, you know this. I mean, you feel like I've done this for a long time, and you feel like you've talked to everybody, and I've talked to just about everybody. I've missed a few, and I'd never spoken to Langer before. What a good guy. Mm. But he's 60 years old. He is 60 years old, and he's playing like he played when he was 30 or 35.
His pectorals are like those of a 25-year-old.
Does it remind you of me?
He's really,
I'm sorry, did your mic go out there?
I've never heard that.
I mean, he's aging in reverse. His body, it's like Dave Ennett. He is, they're physically.
We just got to see Greg Norman nude.
That was
interesting.
Pretty darn good.
He doesn't he?
Yeah, I see him.
So you think we got a Benjamin Button golf situation thing going on?
I do, yeah. But Greg Norman, I see on Instagram, he's shirtless a lot, so I see that because I follow him.
Yeah.
So sure. I wasn't totally surprised by the ESPN body issue, but he looks good in that picture.
I was a little surprised by his butt myself. It was very impressive.
You know that was out loud and on the air, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was, yeah.
Okay. It's 9:21. We'll take a break. You want to play Match Game again?
Sure.
Let's do it. Let's play Match Game. We need two contestants, 312-981-7200. We'll do it when we come back. Two contestants now at that number, 312-981-7200 on 720 WGN. Bad music can only mean one thing. What we originally had planned for this segment didn't work out. That's why it's time for another edition of the Match Game. John DeCosta is the cordial host of the Match Game. How do we play this game, John?
It's real simple. I'm going to ask a question, and in that question will be a blank. You have to fill in the blank, but you, the listener, will wait until I ask for it. We'll get the celebrities' answers in before you set it up.
You're playing for Lou Malnati's Pizza.
Ooh. Yeah.
And every prize I've ever given away on this show. Going back to 2013 when I returned.
They are just
the
getting
the entire
pizza.
List.
Just pizza.
So we all get pizza? We all get, even the celebrity
yes.
winners?
Yes. Oh, everyone gets pizza. Everyone gets their own Lou Malnati's opening in your own home.
I am craving a pizza so badly right now.
I know. I just.
Well, the winner,
exactly
if we get a winner, they have to get more than the other person gets.
Okay.
Lou Malnati's, if you're listening, we're craving pizza.
Yes, Lou Malnati's. So what else would you like me to give them?
An apt gift card.
An apt gift card from ABT.com. Yeah, all right, let's go first to Keith in
I'm craving headphones right now.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing fine. John?
Good morning, Keith. And I hope you do know how to play the game, correct?
Yes, sir.
Great. Okay. Hang on for your answer until I ask for it, but here's the question.
Remember, Keith, you're playing for every prize every I've ever given away, starting in Ithaca, New York in 1980.
No pressure.
Okay. Here we go. Here's the question. Mark Carman is not sure he made the right financial decision when told to invest in the stock market. He put all of his money into blank stock.
Ah.
I will read that again. Mark Carman is not sure he made the right financial decision when told to invest in the stock market. He put all of his money into blank stock. Keith, hang on to your answer. I'll ask for it in just a second. Make sure all the celebrities are in. Is everybody set? Yes? Everybody set upstairs? Yes? Keith, what is your answer?
I'm going to go with junk.
Junk stock.
Junk stock.
That's not bad.
That's a great
that's
answer.
That's good.
Not bad.
Unfortunately.
It's not going to work, but it's a good answer.
Oh, please, have faith.
Good answers. Keith, we apologize. Good answers mean nothing.
That's okay. That's fair point. That's
good. Let's start with Mark Carman, since it's his question.
I put it into tennis balls, John. I feel like that's a very...
Tennis ball stock?
Yes. Tennis ball stock. So like Wilson.
Right. Like a nice. I just want a lot of tennis balls around me, so I bought tennis balls.
All right. Yeah, that's not a good answer. Justin?
I said stock in arena football.
Arena football.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
That's good. Here we go. Mary?
I said chicken stock.
That's what I'm saying.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
see, and I could, I didn't come up with chicken. I said Woodstock.
Woodstock is good, too.
Yeah, Woodstock. Yeah, because why would you invest in Woodstock?
That's good.
I said chicken stock.
Chicken stock?
Joe and I got a match.
Okay, Mary upstairs?
I said livestock.
Livestock's a great answer.
Marianne's coming up.
That's good. That's very good. Grisanage, are you playing?
I am, and I believe it or not, I said chicken stock as well.
Oh, three chicken stock.
Three chicken
wonderful.
Stock.
So that's five celebrities, and Keith had a decent answer, but none Keith of them matched. So let's give Keith all five.
Okay.
Five for Keith. Perfect. That's going to make it tough for Marianne. Hold on, Marianne. But Marianne, the good news is I will cheat just as hard for you.
Because if you're not cheating, you're not playing or whatever Mark says.
Cheating ain't trying.
Marianne in Crystal Lake. How's the weather in Crystal Lake? You know, you're so far from us.
It's nice right now.
When did you get off the island?
No, that's not the
Here we go. Are you ready, Marianne? You know how to play.
There's more than one Marianne
ago.
In the world.
That's okay. Good for you, Marianne. So, again, wait for your answer. Here's the question.
Okay.
Dean Richards is grilling out at WGN-TV, and he just now made his signature cold minestrone soup and his famous Tomasulo blank burger.
The Tomasulo blank burger.
Yes.
The Tomasulo... Watch this, Marianne. If I repeat it more often, then you'll know I'm not ready to write an answer down.
I know. It's the best.
The Tomasulo blank burger.
I will repeat the question again. Dean Richards is grilling out at WGN-TV, and he just now made his signature cold minestrone soup and famous Tomasulo blank burger. Tomasulo blank burger. Is everybody in?
Yes.
Is everybody in?
Hard.
Yes,
sure.
I know.
Sure.
I know. Okay. Everybody in? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Marianne? Your answer?
Yes. I am going with,
Think about him being short and snippy. Or you could just go with a cheeseburger. Yeah. Your call.
I'm going to say just pepper.
Pepper burger.
Pepper burger.
Pepper burger.
Pepper burger.
All right, hold on.
Okay. Hold on, see how you did.
I'm going to tell you right now.
I may not cheat as hard for her as I thought I would.
You may get all of these.
No, I'm kidding.
That's good. Here we go. Mark?
I went with the Tootsie Roll Burger, John.
Okay. Can I ask you why that made sense before you wrote it down?
I don't think because it was a you said short and stout, so I thought like
never mind. Justin.
I said the sarcastic turkey burger.
That's very good. Yeah. Very good. Sarcastic. I like that.
Yes, sarcastic Mary? Turkey.
Okay. Yes. I went with the people burger because he's man of the people.
Man of the people.
My answer starts
so
with...
So in your world, the burgers were made out of human beings?
I'm not quite sure, but mine starts with a P and Marianne's answer started with a P, so that seems like a match.
That's cool.
Yeah. Well, so far she's got all three.
That's good. Yeah.
People. Swimming green is people.
There you go, Mayor.
Yes.
Yeah. Mary?
Well, I went with funny burger.
A funny burger.
Funny burger. That's good.
It's like a funny business.
No,
funny.
Mary, good answer. Yeah. Good answer.
Makes sense. Dave? He's very funny.
I said bologna burger. That's not bad.
That's not bad either. Too. Mm.
And I said Snide burger. You know, this name is Snide burger.
The Snide burger, Joe?
Mm.
Man of the people burger.
Man of the people burger?
Oh,
okay.
Joe and
that's
I
good.
Matched again.
Oh, you know what's weird? I've just heard from the judges. Marianne got five as well. Five correct answers. It's a tie. Congratulations to both of you for winning Lou Malnati's Pizza at loumalnati's.com and also Apt gift cards and app gift cards at abt.com. You can go and see all the app stuff and everything I ever gave away, starting at WTKO in Ithaca, WENY in Elmira, 95SX in Charleston,
so
through Miami,
tapes,
Baltimore, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Detroit, L.A., New York, Chicago.
Your first Arthur, run in Chicago, then your
Arthur
second
Treacher's
run.
Gift card.
It's all there. Congratulations to both of you. Hang on, please. We'll come back with the news in a moment at 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a five, I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on the riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy.
942. Big O, Orion Samuelson joins us. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you, and happy 4th of July.
What are you doing for the 4th?
Nothing. Staying home and just sitting around with Gloria and probably cooking out a little bit later. But every 4th of July, I revive two memories as a kid, and let me share them quickly
Please.
With you. Our farm was on a ridge with a bluff overlooking Brush Creek, Wisconsin in Vernon County.
Okay.
And every morning on the 4th of July at 5 o'clock, as we were getting ready to start milking, Dad would walk out to that bluff, light a stick of dynamite, and throw it over the bluff. There was nobody living below us, so that was not a problem. But for many people, that officially started the 4th of July holiday.
That is unbelievable. What a cool story.
Yes.
Wow. A stick of dynamite. What was he, Wile E. Coyote?
We weren't worried about bombs and all that at the time because they really didn't matter.
How about that?
The other story I like, we had a village square in Wisconsin, or in Ontario, Wisconsin, and there'd be a short 4th of July parade, and then in the village square with a baseball field in it, there would be a 4th of July program. And we always had a local elected official deliver a speech. Now get this picture. The audience sitting on hay bales in bright sunshine, but the speaker standing on a stage under a shade tree with a big pitcher of water. And so he'd speak, and then he'd take a gulp of water. Meanwhile, we're really hot out there in the audience, and my uncle was with me, and he turned to me, and he said, Orion, take a close look at this. First time you've ever seen a windmill run by water.
Well, there you go. It sums up politics in general, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly does. Hasn't changed.
By the way, speaking of politics, let me ask you about the farm bill for a second. The farm bill seems to have a considerable amount of money set aside for high-speed internet access for rural communities. How big a deal is it?
That is a big deal because so many rural communities don't have access to high-speed internet. Some don't have access to internet at all. And President Trump isn't the first president who has wanted to change that. Presidents before him have done the same as technology increased. But, yeah, in schools particularly, in those areas that can't get internet,
really are at a disadvantage to other schools, and their students are at a disadvantage in that situation. So it's a big deal. As far as the Farm Bill is concerned, I've been surprised that here we are beginning July and the House has passed its version, Senate has passed its version, and it'll be the first time in decades that if we get it to the president's desk and signed, it will be done before the current bill ends. Because if we don't have a farm bill on the 30th of September, then all of our farm programs revert back to the bill of 1948. And we don't want to do that.
It happens all the time. I have a question about it, because obviously politics plays a big part in the farm bill because of the work requirements. We've seen headlines about people who would be benefits of SNAP would have work requirements to be able to be in that program. How does that hurt the ag bill or the farm bill? Because that's just a sliver of what's in the farm bill and how important it is to farmers, yet it's getting all the headlines.
But, you know, interestingly enough, the biggest portion of the Department of Agriculture budget under the Farm Bill goes to food nutrition and food programs, like what used to be the food stamp program, now is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program called SNAP, and that is the biggest portion of the budget of the USDA. A lot of farmers aren't too happy with that because it gets blamed for this huge outlay. I think it's $687 billion this year in the current bill as we have it. And so they're not too happy about it. But what it does, and I keep telling farmers this, you got to have that in the ag bill. Without it, you'll never get an ag bill because there are so few congressmen, House and Senate, representing large agricultural districts that you would not get a farm bill. I've said for the last two or three farm bills, how much longer can we write a bill for agriculture? And luckily, the last bill we wrote, we included crop insurance.
Right.
So now farmers have skin in the game because they pay a portion. They get help from the USDA, but they pay a portion of the premium. That does away with when we have a tornado or a hurricane or a flood or a blizzard and it's a major disaster for some part of the country in agriculture, we'd have to go to Congress and ask for a special bill to appropriate funds to help farmers and ranchers who were hit in that kind of weather catastrophe. We don't have to do that anymore because it's covered by crop insurance.
Should we add trade war to that list? Because what is the government, as trade wars ratchet up and China has focused on some American agriculture, is the government in a position, the Trump administration, to offer aid if this goes south and people aren't buying American wheat?
I don't think, at the moment at least, there's any kind of funding in the program to deal with trade retaliation. And we are concerned about that. But I talked to an analyst a week ago who said, I think we're concentrating too much on things that are talked about but haven't happened yet. And so he sort of downplayed the impact of trade war and retaliation on the market, particularly soybeans, of course, with the Chinese market. But, you know, when you take a look at that imbalance of trade with China, something has got to happen between the U.S. and the Canada on that issue. And back to the farm bill for a moment, because I've seen stories saying, hey, we have a farm bill. No, we don't. We have the House version, we have the Senate version, and that conference committee is going to have some interesting and lengthy discussions. And until it reaches the president's desk and he decides to sign it, we don't have a farm bill. And so still concerned about that because of some of what it does. And as I say, nutrition and food programs, a big part of that farm bill.
John, you got a quick one for you?
Yeah, just two quick things. Number one, I've been sitting by my phone for the last 2 months waiting for your phone call. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. Okay.
I couldn't pay my phone bill, so I lost my phone.
Plus, yeah, you're probably in an area where they don't have phones, so don't worry about
that's true, too.
And the most important question is, Orion, the Mirai corn. Mirai? Am I saying
Mirai.
That right?
Mirai.
Mirai. When does that come out again?
Haven't talked to Gary Pack yet, but I'm guessing it will be out about the middle of this month, because... Okay. If you're in the farmer's market business or the vegetable business this time of the year, you have to do several plantings about 2 months apart or 2 weeks apart so that come September and October, you still have fresh corn to sell. And sure. So they have done that. So I will be checking this week with Gary up at the... Harvard, Illinois area, and get an indication of how well, with this kind of weather, where we've had the heat and the moisture, it should come along quickly. As a matter of fact, earlier this morning on my morning report, I talked about an email I received from a West Suburban listener who said, I thought corn was supposed to be knee-high by the 4th of July, but I traveled into the country over the weekend, and it's shoulder-high. Well, knee-high by the 4th of July sort of went out of the picture 10 or 15 years ago because of technology, because of the genetics we have added to the corn plant. And yes, I've in McHenry County, just north of Huntley, where I live, there's corn that is shoulder high by the 4th of July.
There you go. How about that? The Shaquille O'Neal of cows.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Big O will be throwing dynamite into the ravine tomorrow.
Well, we are going to be in, we're flying Air Orion up to Viroqua, Wisconsin, Viroqua International on Friday. A couple of reunions, class and family, and we'll be there till Sunday and get a pretty good look from 3,000, 4,000 feet at the landscape below to eyeball it from there rather than from the road.
Hugs to Gloria. Happy 4th, my friend.
Thank you, and the same to you, and good visiting with you every week to talk about my favorite subject, producing food.
That's exactly right. As far, and at last word, we're still all eating.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Traditional patriotic music for the 4th. Remember when the founding fathers used to dance to this? You remember?
You remember? I'm a fan of the old promo code. The new promo code's so lame.
The WGN?
Yeah, I like the old one.
The Cochran?
Yeah, I just like it. It's just I'm old school like that.
Yeah. I thought maybe WG Cochran. And they said, that's stupid. From the people at MSNBC, they put this together yesterday. Remember when President Trump said, I have words, I have the best words?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
As every president has said.
Here's a collection.
President Donald Trump, the voice of a generation.
I'm the best. I'm good.
A true American legend.
You know, I went to the best schools. Smart guy. Right there.
I'm really rich. Author of The Best Words.
I know words. I have the best words.
And now you can have them too. With The Best Words. The sounds of making America great again. A comprehensive 143 disc set featuring all your timeless favorites. Like No Obstruction.
No Obstruction. No Obstruction.
No Collusion.
There's no collusion.
No collusion. And the unforgettable No Puppet.
No Puppet. No Puppet.
You and your friends will sing along to the all-time hits like Reciprocal.
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 Reciprocal. Meaning the same. You'll even get the classic Nobody Does It Better.
Nobody.
Nobody. Nobody does it better. Act now and we'll throw in two bonus CDs. 1001 classic Donald Trump sound effects.
Bing, bing, bang, bang, bing, bing, boom, bong.
Wah!
Bong, 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 bing. Bong, bong, bing, 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 clink.
And Chuck Schumer's Anecdote Theater.
Trucks, 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 trucks. Big, heavy trucks. Just put the pedal to the metal. Okay, that's on trucks.
Make your ears great again with the best words.
It's the best of President Donald Trump. And remember, reciprocal.
Right.
Means the same.
Means the same.
Yeah, it means the same.
That was the special 4th of July
edition.
Donald Trump remix.
Bill and Wendy coming up. And what are you doing for the 4th?
I don't know. We were gonna. I told you yesterday I was gonna go to Naperville for Rib Fest, but then I realized you got.
Is this like you're trying to angle for me to give you $45 so you can afford to get?
I'm not going. So I'm in the free agent market looking for sort of 4th of July fun.
Would you like the listeners to host you somewhere?
No, that's fine. I can do that. But right now, I think I just don't. What I don't want is to watch Say Yes to the Dress for 6 hours on the couch.
It is pretty riveting stuff.
Yeah, that's what I want to avoid.
Mark Carmen, what are you doing for the 4th?
Yeah, I'm a free agent too, Steve. Don't have anything.
Well, why don't you and Justin do something together?
Yeah.
That's probably. We're going to see each other on the 5th.
We'll see each other on Thursday.
Yeah, Justin's doing a show Thursday and Friday, by the way. I'll be back next Monday. John, what are you doing?
We are having a little cookout. We can see the fireworks from our deck in Bensonville.
Well, would it kill you to invite Justin and his family?
Yeah, I did. I offered, but he said that's too far west. Naperville's closer.
No invite for Carmen.
If anybody is curious where I'll be tomorrow, somewhere in Indiana on I-80 driving eastbound.
I know.
So headed for upstate New York.
And, have a great trip, man.
Yeah, well,
safe.
Have a good time. Bill, what are you doing for the 4th?
Steve, I'll be doing my one-man show, Cohan, The Life of George M. Cohan, at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
That is another thing I didn't see coming.
Yeah, come on out and see it. I still have there's a lot of tickets available.
Is that on Archer Avenue?
Yeah, on Archer
Avenue.
That's
what I thought.
Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, 7 o'clock show.
That's now, in the round.
Yeah.
You said that's Michael Cohan?
Yeah, Michael Cohan.
That's the show you're doing?
Yeah.
I hope you're having fireworks, because otherwise...
There will be snap and pops, Mary, after the show.
I love those. Yep.
Wendy, what are you doing for the 4th?
Watching my husband blow off a finger with fireworks.
Sounds like a good time.
Yep, that's what we're doing. Probably the Brookfield Parade.
Did you hear Orion's story?
I didn't.
Orion lived on a farm as a boy. Of course he did. And the farm was over a ravine that led down to a river. And to start the 4th for the general area, his father, every year, on the I guess the morning of the 4th?
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 in the morning.
5 in the morning, would go to the edge of the ravine, light a stick of dynamite, and throw it down the bank. And the explosion would tell everybody it's the 4th of July.
I love it. But he also said they were milking the cows at that time. So what happened to the cows when they heard
they gave
the
more
dynamite?
Milk?
Yeah, that's where the
milk.
Chocolate milk came from. All right, guys. Enjoy your 4th. God bless America. We all mean that. And we'll see you. I'll see you back here on Monday.